With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is I, Seamus Coughlin of Shimcast IRL. We have a very special show for you today with a very special guest. We're going to be talking about Rand Paul being kicked off of YouTube. We're going to be talking about the efficacy of COVID-19 vaccines decreasing. We're also going to be talking about a judge who ruled against Giuliani, Mike Lindell, and Sidney Powell in their effort to dismiss the defamation lawsuit brought about by Dominion. So with me, we have Timothy Cast, my good friend.
Thanks for having me, Seamus.
Of course, I'm happy to. I warned him. I said, if I get a suit, it's going to become my podcast, and YouTube's going to rename it. And
this has been a dream come true. I am incredibly honored that you'd have me on Shimcast IRL. I'm a huge fan, by the way.
Thank you.
And I just think that this will be my big break. Yeah. You know, people start to recognize my hard work. And
I hope so.
Maybe I could launch something like Shimcast. You know?
If you wanted to start your own YouTube channel someday, I wouldn't even spend that much time discouraging you.
Just a little bit of time.
I would a little bit just to see what you're made of. If you don't fight back against it, then it probably isn't for you. But yeah, I think you got a bright future.
Thank you, Seamus.
You're welcome. We've got pushing the buttons. We have Lydia, who, by the way, now that it is my podcast, absolutely. I mean, being respectful to Lydia is gone. That's out the window.
That's actually really good to know.
As rude as possible.
I appreciate knowing that up front, Seamus. Yeah. Thank you.
As well as Ian. Frankly.
It's been a whirlwind for me from Tim to Shim.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're under the Shim cast regime now. Yeah. Things are changing.
Well, it's hot. It's hotter than normal, actually. Yeah. Why am I wearing this sweater?
That's changing. Yeah, you know what? Instead of Ian, we're going to have Will on. We're going to be bringing Will Chamberlain on.
Oh, Will Chamberlain. Oh.
Me?
Yes, yeah. You.
Am I on the show today?
Yes, you're on the show. You're going to be doing this.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No, happy to have you. Thank you for coming onto my podcast.
I guess there was a reason I put the headphones on. That's fine. All right, fine. Yeah. Let's do this. What are we talking about?
Glad to have you here.
DMT and God.
No, this is not. No, absolutely not, Ian. This is why you were fired. All right. This is Shimcast IRL. We're going to be talking about a judge ruling against Rudy Giuliani, Mike Lindell, and Sidney Powell. This is our first topic there.
Don't look at me. It's your show.
This is... You got this, James. Hold on. You're doing great. Come on.
Yeah,
you got this.
So, Will, in your legal opinion.
Well, then we didn't even get to the promos. What are you doing?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Before we get started, there were no promos.
I'm Shimcast. I said there's no promos today.
All right. Before we get into the news, my friend.
This is
promo.
Mutiny.
Yeah, it's true.
We're taking the show back. Go to Timcast.com, become a member, and you'll get access to an ad-free experience and exclusive episodes of the Timcast IRL podcast available to members only. And we'll have one of those up for you tonight. Usually we talk about things that YouTube doesn't allow us to, and I love it when the media tries to smear us over that. They're like, he's moved his rule-breaking content off of YouTube. It's like, but YouTube told me to do that.
Yeah.
They were like, don't put that stuff. Okay. Stop talking. Anyway, go to timcast.com, be a member. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. The big story we have right now, because obviously many people have been following Mike Lindell's cyber symposium. We have a development in the Dominion-Mike Lindell saga, which I find to be quite interesting. We have a story from Business Insider. A federal judge denied motions from Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, and Mike Lindell to dismiss Dominion's lawsuits against them. It's from just about an hour ago. And as many of you may be knowing, Mike Lindell's cyber symposium is currently ongoing, where they have a bunch of speakers, a bunch of experts. Mike Lindell's offered $5 million to anyone who can prove that his data isn't the actual voter data. And they're going through screenshots. They've got hash data and stuff. I got to be honest. One of the most challenging things for a regular person is trying to understand what it is they're presenting, because it's a lot of it is you'll see IP addresses. You'll see networking details. You'll see hash codes. And you're going to be like, I don't know what those things mean. And that can be, well, in my opinion, it can probably lead people to make false assumptions. So, look, they're still doing their symposium. I'll let Mike Lindell do a symposium. Like, I won't make judgments. I will wait and see. But I gotta be honest, I am not confident at all. And I'll tell you why. A federal judge denied motions from Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, and Mike Lindell to dismiss. Okay, well, hold on a minute. Back when Dominion announced they were suing Mike Lindell, he actually came out and said he was, quote, very happy to hear that Dominion had sued him. Quote, now I can get to the evidence faster. It's going to be amazing, he said. He added that he plans to continue releasing more movies, more documentaries about alleged election fraud. My issue there is if he was really happy that he was being sued because that would give him the ability to enter discovery against Dominion, why would he try to dismiss that lawsuit? So, look, I think I favor the audits. I favor bolstering confidence in our election systems. And the mainstream media says that everything Mike Lindell is doing is not doing that. But the problem is you already have people who don't have confidence in it. So I think in order to restore confidence, you need to give people the investigations. You need to say, look, when you're subpoenaed, here's the data, and just go through the motions, because this country is horribly, horribly divided. But I got to say, in this story, you know, as you probably guys, you know, from the intros that Seamus tried doing.
That I did do until you stole it from me.
Will Chamberlain's
still watching Shimcast.
Yes. Will's a lawyer, and you brought up some statements from the judge. I don't know if you wanted to read them.
Yeah, let me pull up the tweets.
And give it your thoughts
on this. I did tweet them out. So
yeah, the judge issued these statements, and you have it?
I pulled it up. So this is, you know, portions of the motion to dismiss, the ruling on the motion to dismiss. It's like a 35-page ruling. But this is making fun of one of the experts that Powell and Lindell were relying on in their lawsuit to explain why, like, they were justified in bringing this, that they were being authentic, et cetera. They said that this expert has, quote, been ordered to pay more than $25,000 after finding that the expert violated consumer protection laws by misspending money she raised. And then the judge goes on to say, quote, that expert has also publicly claimed that George Soros, President George H.W. Bush's father, the Muslim Brotherhood, and leftists helped form the deep state in Nazi Germany in the 1930s, which would have been a remarkable feat for Soros, who was born in 1930. Look, it may seem like, oh, that's like, whatever, a cute joke. Federal judges don't tell jokes in their opinions, and if they're telling jokes that you are the butt of, that's like terrible. That's not good. There's another instance where, let's see if I can find the next particular nasty quote.
But isn't it bad for a judge to be joking in this way and making, you know what I mean?
It's like, weird, but it's also kind of the nature of the arguments that he would inevitably be saying some things that are kind of ridiculous. So basically, a defamation claim, you have to prove actual malice, mm-hmm. right? That's one of the things you have to prove under New York Times versus Sullivan, that someone either knowingly lied or showed a reckless disregard for the truth. I think we're actually all pretty familiar with that now because defamation comes up a lot.
Oh, yeah.
In modern internet culture. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that Dominion is alleging actual malice on the part of Powell and Lindell is they're saying no reasonable person could believe these things. So assuming they are reasonable, they're clearly reckless in making these statements. Like, their statements are so outlandish that you have to be reckless to make
them. I do take issue with that, though. I mean, sometimes crazy things turn out to be true. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's why my attitude on this is like, look, if somebody comes out and they're like, I'm going to spend millions of dollars on a cyber symposium and hire all these people and offer up $5 million, I'm like, all right.
I mean, yeah.
If he loses $5 million, well, then he put up $5 million and he lost it.
You know, but like, here's the point from Dominion. I mean, obviously it shouldn't be criminal, right? Like, where, you know, this is a free country. But we still have defamation laws.
Right. For defamation, I understand that. I'm just saying in terms of like the general environment when it comes to, you know, the media's approach or the judge saying no reasonable person could believe these things, I think the judge should be like, present your evidence. Now, here's the problem. Mike Lindell had an opportunity with this lawsuit to present evidence proving that his statements were in fact true. Therefore, it was not defamation. Instead, tried to get it dismissed.
Well, I mean, I think he did also, one of his own arguments was also that what I said was true. And he now will get that opportunity. Like, we're going to discovery. Like, he'll be deposed. And there'll be immense amounts of discovery on both sides, right? Certainly Lindell will be able to go to Dominion and try and get information out of them that proves Lindell's claims. But Dominion will be able to go Lindell and demand his factual basis and every bit of his facts for saying otherwise.
I've read a lot about the allegations, the anomalies, the states. Admittedly, I think there's some things that should be investigated, absolutely. There's a video of a woman and she puts the ballots in multiple times. But the problem is that in and of itself isn't enough evidence to prove anything. But I do think it's like, okay, we'll do an audit. I think that's fair. If you've got half the country and half the country pitted against each other to the point where there's violence in the streets, it's like, let's just calm down and sort this thing through. And if you're confident that everything was perfect and the most secure, as I think the DHS said, then let's give the people the opportunity to Agreed. Feel confident and secure in this.
Agreed. And election integrity should be like Caesar's wife, right? Beyond reproach. I mean, in Israel, there's so many different measures. Like, you are videotaped going into a voting booth. You put your fingerprint on it. I mean, there's so many different things that mean that you physically have to show up. Absentee ballots are disfavored, et cetera.
Say the line, Ian.
Graphene DMT. Wait, where are we going? No.
Free the code.
This is exactly what I'm thinking. Now, this is a little bit different than what we're talking about, the Lindell situation, but the fact that they're tallying votes in private with proprietary software code, I believe, is the scandal.
I agree. And that actually lends itself back to the defamation suit, which is really interesting because Dominion was damaged by this.
Yeah.
Substantially. Because I'm telling you right now, I don't care. In regards to moving forward with our elections, because obviously I care if there was impropriety. Personally, I think a lot of people are incorrect in their assumptions about what happened. And I think I keep hearing these things like, oh, March 3rd, March 5th, March 11th, oh, April 4th. Like they keep saying people still believe that Trump is going to be reinstated. I'm like, guys, we had Bannon on the show. Bannon said he believes a lot of the stuff. I pushed back. I don't. Mm-hmm. I think that we saw the article from Time Magazine. We saw voting in the park. We saw the Republicans in Pennsylvania violate the Constitution, at least according to a lower court judge, for universal mail-in voting. You've got California now, people are pointing out, is going to allow you to print ballots at home. I think people need to realize voter integrity is the big issue. Mm-hmm. Now, certainly I'm all for investigations, audits, whatever. But when it comes to Dominion, what I'm seeing looking to the future, you know, I look forward to seeing whatever it is the experts in the symposium end up with, but, you know, I digress. In the future, we can't use Dominion. And it's not even about the allegations. Mm-hmm. What Mike Lindell has done is brought to the forefront a very serious issue. I think Mike Lindell, absolutely, with his claims, and feel free to say the dude's out of his mind, we now have to answer one question. Why are we using proprietary, unseen software code in our public elections? I can't accept that. And if it wasn't for this news cycle, Mike Lindell and the symposium, all this stuff, we wouldn't even be talking about the fact that we have a company with proprietary code that we can't actually see.
Right. Well, if that's all that was causing Dominion's damages, actually, Lindell and Powell and whoever would be in much better shape because they would be able to say that it's actually truthful claims, right? That would have caused the damages. The problem here is that what's alleged in the, in the complaint, I mean, and I don't know exactly the extent of what Lindell said, but I don't think that Dominion's lawyers would go out there and falsify quotations from Lindell. I think they could go into the record and find them. It's the kind of thing you'd get caught on and really slap down for professional ethics. So,
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When Mike Lindell released some... Like hash code data, mm-hmm. and then the media came out and said, you know, oh, I think it was CNN, they were like, we had 30 experts or like 15 experts look at this, who said it was nothing. The reality is, even before CNN did it, I actually hit up one of my hacker buddies and asked them what they thought of it, and they were like, we don't see anything here. Like, it's data. It's not proving anything happened. And then Mike Lindell came out and said, oh, that's just to show we have the data. And so for me, it's kind of been really difficult to track now for what are we going on? We're going on almost a year of all of the claims and accusations that keep changing, that keep evolving. I'll admit, I think there are things that were anomalous that definitely give me pause that we should look into. But I've just been sitting here waiting, like with every guest we've had on the show talking about this, and I won't call every single person, but even people like Bannon, I'm just like, please show me something, anything. And it's always like, well, there was an anomaly here. And I'm like, I get that. But saying, like, a man walked through a dark alley at midnight doesn't prove he robbed the bank. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of... It feels very, like, kind of... There's a lot of obfuscating going on. Like, they're trying to, like... And then also extrapolate, you know, why, you know, aggressive extrapolation. And, I mean, I'm speaking as someone who, again, I recorded the video of the poll watcher being kicked out of Philadelphia, of a polling station in Philadelphia that went viral on Election Day. Like, I mean, you're not talking to a person who thinks these elections are pristine or that there aren't some serious problems. But the stuff that they've been saying, I mean, I remember... You know, when Sidney Powell originally alleged stuff like Venezuela and Russia cooperated to rig our elections.
Remember the German servers and the shootout with the CIA in Germany or whatever? It's just like, come on, man.
I don't even remember any of that.
What, yeah, can you lay out some of the specific claims they've made that seem
I mean, I don't want to, like, I don't have it in front of me, so I have to remember it. But there was a press conference where it was, and it was like a Trump campaign press conference with Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, and Sidney Powell, I think, and maybe one or two other people, but I know Sidney, those three spoke, and Sidney was the one who just out of nowhere started making allegations about the foreign actors colluding to, like, rig the election. And I remember thinking at the time, listening, I was like, well, that's an aggressive claim. I wonder what she's got to back that up. And it turned out we haven't seen anything substantive to back that up.
There's weird business connections, weird international individuals and business people and all that stuff. But the challenge is, and I think this is important for any for the people who genuinely believe all of these claims and think Trump is going to be reinstated. You go to a regular person who doesn't pay attention to the news and you tell them these things and they're going to walk out the door in 2 seconds.
Well, and also this reinstatement thing. I mean, the reinstatement claim, like, even if everything Powell and Trump and Lindell are saying is true, that doesn't lead to Trump being reinstated.
Right.
Because there's a process. The only way, you know, to remove a president, in turn, you have to impeach him. The vice president takes power. Are you going to then impeach the vice president? I guess their plan is to have Trump run for House and then hopefully make him Speaker of the House and then somehow get him in the line of succession.
But not on August
15th. For the future, you know, dominoes of impeachment to fall. But, like, yet that's you know, a year and a half from now. He's, you know, do we need, is there going to be a congressman who dies and then Trump is appointed as, like, a special election? Well, then he becomes Speaker even though we don't have a majority in House?
Check this out. We got another story I want to jump to.
Sure.
Nearly a third of Republicans still believe Trump will be reinstated this year. In poll released 2 days before conspiracy theorists predicted it would happen. Yeah, I can hear your reaction. They believe that, I think, in 4 days? Was it the 15th? No, okay, I'll say, I guess it's the 13th? I don't know when they think Trump is going to be brought back. But why? I'll put it this way, man. All of these claims require tremendous leaps of faith about what's happening with the government. And even if you believed everything, all the impropriety and all the accusations and all the conspiracies, you would have to then believe that there is an element of the government that is going to remove the current administration to allow a path for Trump to come back in and be reinstated in somehow. And I'm just thinking, like, to get from point A to where everyone is at with this reinstatement thing, it's like going from A to Z. Like, you got to go A, B, C, D. You got to go each and every step. And that is such a tremendous leap. I just don't understand how people can believe that's going to happen.
I mean, it's scary. And I think the people who are promulgating that are really either completely out of their depth, right? And that's the most generous interpretation of it. The other one is really malicious, where it's just like they're grifting, right? They're lying to persuade people to continue to give them money.
I'll tell you this. It is possible that Donald Trump is reinstated as president. Oh, it's physically possible. Yes, absolutely. It's in the realm of this existence. It's not like I'm saying he's going to grow wings and fly to the moon or anything like that. But it's just like, I would rather buy a lottery ticket. You know, like the likelihood is just astronomical. I'm a bit, I suppose the right word would be flabbergasted by people who would be willing to believe something so... What tremendous could and would occur, because the amount of things that would have to happen for that process to play out is astronomical.
Yeah.
Astronomical.
Yeah, you could prove that he cheated. You could prove that Biden knowingly cheated, right? And the thing is, like, it would be like the Democrats thinking that they could prove...
You're saying hypothetically.
Hypothetically, right. Yes.
Because otherwise it sounds like you're saying...
No. I am saying the hypothetical world, you know, the hypothetical world where even this, that Biden would be impeached over this stuff is a hypothetical where Biden literally knew about everything. I mean, it's a preposterous notion. Again, student, I do not believe that. It's hypothetical. But even if you got there, like, it would be equivalent to Democrats in 2016 saying, if we prove Trump won the colluded with Russia to win the election, then Hillary will be president, right? And you'd be like,
exactly,
no.
Dude. You know what blew my mind? Cause I was watching the symposium and they played this video. Cause I'm not somebody who's going to be like, I won't watch that. No, I watched a lot of it. I obviously can't watch all cause I'm working. But what they claim that, NASA's involved with like elements in China and the deep state and stuff. And I'm like, okay, slow down there. You cannot open your presentation by telling regular people who don't know what's going on that NASA is involved in some kind of a plot. Because you lose people, man. I'm sorry. It's out there. It's absolutely.
Did they mean the NSA? I'm trying to figure out a way to interpret that generously.
NASA.
Interesting.
NASA, the poorly funded
National,
organization.
Was it Aeronautical and Space Administration?
That literally had to give up the space shuttle because they didn't
have
enough cash.
Don't you understand, Will, that behind the scene, that's a front. Everybody knows that NASA's actually the Illuminati.
Right. Well, they decided to actually stop going to space and start, like, secretly plotting coups against the elected government.
I should mention, I was curious about this number that you brought up, that a third of Republicans believe that Trump will be reinstated this year. So I just went and took a look at the data that they pulled this from. So the question they asked was, how likely do you think it is that former President Donald Trump will be reinstated as U.S. president this year, if at all? And out of 2,000 people surveyed, I think the percentage was 10% saying very likely, 9% saying somewhat likely, and then 13 saying not very likely, then not very likely at all, or don't know, or no opinion.
So it's not that a third believe he will be. It's that a total of a third lean towards maybe.
Yeah, or that is possible. Because not very likely doesn't sound like that person is saying, I think Trump is going to be reinstated within this year.
But people think 10% says very likely, mm-hmm. and then what's the next percentage?
Let me pull this back up. I just lost this. My apologies.
10% of Republicans or 10% of the public?
Oh, yeah, actually, let me double check. The survey, it looks as if the survey is only surveying Republicans, but let me take a moment to double check.
And I'll clarify this, too, because this was a garbage headline from Daily Mail. They go on to say 29% of Republicans believe Trump could be reinstated. Now, that's correct.
Yeah.
Trump could be reinstated.
In the abstract, really. following the sort of path I laid out where he becomes a Speaker of House.
Yeah, reinstate isn't the right word.
No. Could Trump be reinstated?
No.
Well, no. Look.
Yeah,
it is physically possible in this world for a Rube Goldberg-like political operation to occur in which Trump becomes Speaker because Nancy Pelosi steps down, and then there's a snap emergency election where they're like, we're going to vote for Trump. And for some reason, progressives protest and say, we'll vote for Trump, too. It will never happen. But the point I'm making is that it might be a 0.00000001 chance it could happen, right? So it's depending on how you play the semantics of the question.
Yeah, I was saying, like, saying that it wouldn't be a reinstatement in that case. It would be like he would be that the Speaker of the House that then is elevated.
He succeeded to the presidency.
A succession. Would he be then succeeded again?
I want everybody listening to just imagine something right now. Okay, just imagine this. First, I want to say I do not believe. I genuinely mean this. I have looked at a lot of the anomalies and a lot of the data. I believe there should be an investigation. I believe there should be audits. I think we need that to build confidence back for the American people and to help kind of resolve this extreme divide. But I want you to imagine something. It's August 14th. The cyber symposium has ended. At the very end of the symposium, Mike Lindell stands up without saying a word and presses enter on a keyboard, and documents appear on the screen. And all the journalists in attendance are like, I can't believe it. I work for the New York Times, and even I must admit it's true. And then they write fervently like, wow, Mike Lindell, oh, he's correct, and then all these things. And then all of a sudden, Biden is like seen in a plane, and he's flying to China, and Kamala Harris is like crossing the border to Canada. And they're like, what do we do? And then the Secret Service picks up Trump, and they drive in the White House. That's not going to happen.
No. No, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
You know,
it's not ever going to happen.
It sounds like
it'd be
Dominion.
A cool movie. It'd be a really cool movie.
Yeah, it would be a great movie. Different. We have to change the names. It seems like
no one would know who it was about.
Right. Yeah. it'd be a secret.
I don't like Joe Biden. Okay, gas prices are going up. Joe Biden comes out and says he issues a warning on gas prices. It's his fault gas prices are going up, and the media is covering for him saying it's not his fault. I just want to make sure everybody understands. I don't like that guy. Okay.
Yeah. Did we talk about today how he decided his administration requested that OPEC release more oil? Like, we have oil in this country. We had a pipeline that was going to be built that was under construction with lots of jobs already on the line.
We'll get into that in a second.
Who shut that down?
Joe Biden? Probably the same guy who rigged the Dominion machines.
It seems like Dominion's getting out ahead on this one because they know, I can't say for sure, but the fact that they did stuff in secret, it's a Canadian corporation that, this corporation,
is it
right? It's Canadian. As from what I've learned, it's Canadian. And they don't want to get busted. They don't want to get attacked for it, so they're going on the offensive. That's what it sounds like. Does that make any sense to you?
I don't think that's it at all. I think it's as simple as their $1 billion business has been decimated by what a lot of people said about them. Because think about it from the perspective of if you're offering election machines, you need to have a completely besmirched reputation. Otherwise, no one can hire you. Even if
that's a good point.
You know, if other people are saying things about your machines that are false, if half the country believes them, then your business is dead. Which means that all the things that were said about Dominion crushed their business in a way that caused them likely hundreds of millions of dollars in damages.
I'll tell you this. First and foremost, I said we got to have open source. Either they free the code, like Ian often says. This is the one area where I agree, because we need to be able to see what those machines do, flat out. My friend told me a story. About some guy who got a speeding ticket from a radar gun.
Yeah.
And when he went to court, they said, we've got the evidence that shows you were speeding. And then he requested the court subpoena the source code for the radar gun. And he said to the judge, for all we know, it's a random number generator. And the judge agreed. The people who make the radar gun need to prove that their gun works this way and how, and show the code to the defense so the defense can understand the evidence presented against them. I think that if we're going to have elections, we got to have the ability to look at the code. That being said, based on everything that's happened, the accusations made against Dominion, I think Dominion should be purged from every single voting system, every county, just because for one reason. Half the people in this country are skeptical, are concerned, are scared, have lost confidence. Now that is in line with defamation. That's bad for Dominion across the board. I'm looking at it this way. I want America to get better. I want people to come together. I want to get back to having policy arguments, not tribalist arguments. And that means there's got to be compromise. And if you've got the Trump supporter saying, we do not trust this company, then we say, we'll hire a different company. We'll make the source code open source, or we'll make it open source.
I totally agree, right? Elections, people need to have public faith in elections, and no one company's fate or business success comes up over that. At the same time, if that company was lied about in a way that caused them this damage and made it so nobody could use them for an election rigging machine, then they have a legit defamation claim against the people who lied about.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Look, Mike Lindell's not a poor guy. And I think they're suing for $1 billion. But they're squeezing blood out of a turnip. You know what I mean? They might get something, but...
I mean, they're also going after all the news companies too, right? They're suing Fox News, Newsmax, OAN. I mean, Fox has... I mean, that's where I think they're thinking the big money is, but... they're going to go after everybody.
You know what's crazy is, first, I'm going to say this too. I don't like Dominion voting systems. I don't like, I'm learning about proprietary code in our public elections. I am not a fan of that. That's bad. Mm-hmm. As a company, I don't know. I will say that they're both based in Canada and Colorado. So
cool.
I don't know if you can call them just a Canadian company or whatever. Got it. But I don't know, man.
No, you have to free the software code because you don't know that it's doing anything nefarious, but they could have secret backdoor things that say if this vote tallies this, then flip to this. I mean, and you just don't know. That's the problem.
It's right. It's not even about saying that we believe there's a grand conspiracy and this company's involved. It's about saying we want to make sure your code works properly and that in matters of public election, we can see how we need transparency in government. Yeah. Is a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. I recognize there's confidential, there's secret, there's top secret and stuff. We get it. There's classified information. But when it comes to our elections, we should be able to look at the code and be like, oh yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Cool. We don't need classified information in about how our elections work.
Exactly. Like,
that's actually completely antithetical to what elections are designed to do, which is make people. The entire point of having elections is to make the losing side agree that they lost.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
like,
very true.
That's like that's a good point. That's so that we have peaceful transitions of power. Mm-hmm. Well, right.
And the problem I have right now with everything that's going on with like Arizona and Wisconsin and stuff is that, you know, they're issuing subpoenas in Arizona and they're actually getting pushback. It's like, mm-hmm. just hand it over. Like, look, I get it. They're arguing it's a waste of time or whatever. It's a violation of security. And I'm like, dude, you need to convince people that you're claiming lost, that they lost. You should, with a smile on your face, be like, here's the data, man. Have at it. Have a good day.
Yeah, or we change the way our elections are run to make it so it should be to a point where it's stupid to even consider that the elections are fraudulent. Like if you were in Israel and you were like, oh, that election was rigged, every Israeli would just laugh at you, be like, it's just not possible. Like you can't, the way that the measures we have in place for election integrity, like what you have to do to be able to vote, what you have to do to verify that vote, the custody of the ballots, like it's so.
But you mean that literally, like Israel's system is super secure?
Super secure, right? Like, they don't use electronic
machines,
yeah,
right? Like,
that now.
Like, we don't need to use them. Like, that said, not using them will be bad for all these companies' businesses, but we don't need to use them.
That's one of the things, one of the guys at the symposium said, we gotta vote Amish. No electricity.
I don't necessarily agree with that either, because if you hand someone a stack of papers and then you trust them to go count it, they don't have to. They can count it any way they want.
You
so,
have, I would imagine, a number of different people verifying that they counted it properly. But I agree, right, that there's an advantage to the computer technology where you can have all of the data stored perpetually for everyone to look at whenever they want.
Mm-hmm. In public on a blockchain. Mm-hmm. Or just for you to verify with like a QR code that only your account can scan and read to verify that your vote is being tallied as you said it. And then it's kind of up to you to verify your own vote. But at least there's a public available database where you can do that.
Let's talk about Joe Biden.
Sure.
So Joe Biden's husband, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden is not a good president.
What? Oh, come on. Hold have on. We ever I will had not one? Have that talk on Shimcast IRL. Joe Biden's the greatest president we've ever had.
I got a serious question for you, Seamus. Who was the last great president?
Oh, man. You can't ask me something like that. Here's the thing.
Oh, Jimmy Carter, man.
Oh, come on, bro. What are you doing? Shimcast IRL? I mean, look,
I'm just like Andrew Johnson Shimcast. Is the next one we're going for.
I think I've said this before. I definitely think Trump is the best president of my lifetime in terms of the last great president. That's a really tough question. I don't know.
Eisenhower was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I like Eisenhower.
I like that guy.
Oh, yeah. He's
I trusted him.
He's the one who came out and was like, the military-industrial complex is going to destroy the country.
Trump said the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about Mr. Joe Biden. So earlier today, I did a segment, and it was probably one of the easiest segments I've ever done because I was just so grossly offended by the media. Joe Biden came out, the Biden administration saying, alarm bells, the rising gas prices, energy prices are going to stifle the recovery. Uh-huh. And OPEC, they need to start producing more supply so that we have cheaper gas prices. And I said, hey, wait a minute. Joe, that's your fault. Mm-hmm. It is your fault gas prices are going up.
Exactly.
But what does the media say? GOP pounces on claims that Joe Biden caused the prices to go up. And then I see every fact check after fact check after fact check saying false, 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 false. Republicans are lying. Republicans are lying. And then I was like, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
First and foremost. The framing of all of these fact checks was Joe Biden shutting down Keystone XL and banning fracking on public land did not cause prices to go up. Is that what Republicans said? I'm not a fan of most of these guys, but one of the things, I think it was Grassley who said, inflation by bad policy is causing all prices to go up, of which one of the core basic necessities for an average person is gas. And inflation means that gas will go up as well. Now you can argue, oh, now you're arguing semantics and just trying to save face. Oh, it goes deeper than that. I'm looking at all these fact checks. My favorite is when USA Today says gas is going up not because of Biden's policies, but because of a lack of supply. Demand is here, but supply is short.
I wonder why there's a lack of supply.
Then you get Quartz saying there is no shortage of gasoline in this country. Because they're writing about different things. Mm. And I'm like, okay, now we're getting the semantics of what it means that there's a short supply or a shortage. Low supply doesn't mean shortage because low supply means it's available, but shortage means, no, okay, they're the same thing. So you can't have the news coming out screaming there is no shortage of gas while they're saying prices are going up because there's a shortage of gas at the same time. This is what the media does, and it's ridiculous. I'll tell you this. Joe Biden is the cause of the high gas prices for, I think, what, one, two, three reasons. First, Keystone Pipeline, shutting it down. That yep. pipeline was not going to be transporting crude anytime soon, but the banning of fracking on federal land, on public lands, and Keystone caused speculators to publicly state that they felt this would result in a low supply in the future and high prices. So they were buying now, driving prices up, which reaches the gas pump for you, the consumer. Then you have inflation. Joe Biden printing this unemployment bonus and the eviction moratorium is causing prices across the board to go up, including your gas. And third, the labor shortage. Because people are getting paid and they don't have to work, they're choosing not to work, and there's a shortage of truck drivers. Gas isn't making the stations. Gas is going up. All of that is Joe Biden's fault. And I am sick of the media playing defense because they're too stupid. Either they're too stupid to look at the big picture or they're just covering for a garbage administration.
Tell us how you really feel today.
Yeah, right. Honestly.
This is why I said it was
really
like one
still
of the,
can you repeat that
thunder,
actually? Right? I wasn't. No, just kidding.
It is so insanely obvious to anybody who just reads the news all day that Joe Biden is screwing up the economy in so many different ways. We had this jobs report come out and there were like 954,000 jobs. It's above what we predicted. This is great. Everyone's clapping. Except job openings went up as well to record levels, 10.1 million. At the same time, the projected consumer price index was going to be 5.3 for the year. It's 5.4. It's higher than they thought.
What's that?
It's inflation. It's the cost of goods yes. going up from this month to last year. It has gone up. If now you've got Shake Shack announcing they're increasing the price of their burgers. Tyson says their meat's going to be more expensive. Pork is up, I think, 39%. Yeah, so gas is up something like 30% or so. All of this is because Biden is doing a miserable and pathetic job across the board. Speculators are driving it up because he banned these things. Then he gives Russia the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. This dude is hurting America. He is hurting the working class. And the most frustrating thing is when you try to talk to these young populist leftist types, they don't understand how the economy works. So they side with Democratic establishment shills.
I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. There's also the extended unemployment, which has driven up the cost of labor substantially, which is, I guess, not inherently a bad thing. I think, you know, workers should get paid more generally, but I'd like to do it in a way that doesn't require us to pay people who can go work or should be able to go work and pay them like, you know, we're still paying extended unemployment benefits in a world where there's like a million tons of job openings.
10.1 million job openings and not enough workers in the market to fill those jobs. Mm-hmm. And look, I posted a video. This is actually the biggest video I've ever posted to Instagram because I don't really care about Instagram all that much. I just post fun stuff.
It's fun.
We were shopping and we were going to the dairy section looking at the milk. And I saw this little thing, this little star on the fridge, and it said $500 hiring bonus. And I was like, that's a weird place to put the hiring on the milk section. And then I look and there's another one. Every 10 feet was saying $500 hiring bonus.
Yeah.
Now we've seen those signs and we've talked about them before. We have seen the fast food restaurant saying, well, we'll give you, pay you a bonus, $1,000, come, open interviews. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
The last week or like 2 weeks ago, I went grocery shopping. We did not see these bonuses. The grocery store had employees and it's gotten so bad in the past couple of weeks. Now, even my local grocery store is saying we're basically desperate.
Two questions. Did you plant those signs before you got the video?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Dude, that's
but it's
real.
Got like 130,000 or so views on Instagram, and it was just me shopping like, look at this, and it's got like 1,300 comments. People are recognizing this stuff in their areas, and the craziest thing to me, you know what blows my mind? Democrats believe the economy is fairly good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is because they live in the cities where it's like, there was already a high minimum wage in a lot of elite cities. So the effectively what the extended unemployment did is it creates its own very high minimum
wage.
Exactly.
It resets the market
equilibrium. Right. Because it's like the opportunity cost of going to work or not going to work. Right. And so in a place with a high minimum wage already, it's not actually going to change the labor market that much. Mm-hmm. In a place that's in the rural area where people were getting paid close to actual minimum wage, things are dramatically different. Like I was driving down to North Carolina. We stopped right outside of Richmond. We were like, oh, let's go to a Waffle House. We walked in. first thing you see is a little like display, kind of like, you know, those science projects.
I saw that, yeah.
Right? Like those science, you know, the third, fourth grade science project, little panels. Mm-hmm. They're being like, come work here. It's so wonderful. Walk in. They're like, sorry, to go only because no staff.
Yeah.
Then we go across the street to the Fuddruckers. You can see on the sign there, it says, we're only open 12 to 8 because of staffing issues.
Yep.
Like yeah. every, if you're in rural America, any restaurant, it's like staffing issues galore.
And it's getting worse.
It's getting a lot worse.
So we have a local diner. And we went there, only one section was open, and it said they were closing early. Like, I think they were closing at like 6 p.m. or something. I posted about this, I can't remember the exact time they were closing, but closing early, and I was like, whoa, this is a diner. Like, diners, like, aren't they supposed to be open 24/7? You come in for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then we went in, and they were short-staffed. And they were like, we're desperately trying to hire cooks. Somebody super chatted us the other day saying that at their IHOP, they had to ship in a cook from a different store because I would have had to have closed because I had no staff.
Yeah. Look, I just want to interject here. And by the way, I think you hit the nail on the head perfectly when you said that. It's insane to be giving people massive unemployment benefits when there's such a surplus of jobs that people aren't taking. It completely defeats the purpose. But also, given what you've just said, it becomes clear to anyone who didn't already recognize this that our framing is totally off here, because the way it's stated is X new jobs were created this month. But these aren't new jobs, so to speak. I mean, they are, but they came in and shut down the entire economy, and now some of the jobs that we used to have are being reinstated, mm-hmm. though you can't even quite say that they're being reinstated, because a lot of the small businesses that were shut down are never going to reopen, and now these services are being provided for by larger companies. But when we get these job numbers, I mean, this is getting the economy back to quote-unquote normal. This isn't improving our condition overall.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's incredibly sad. It's gonna change the way, I mean, what it's gonna do to restaurants in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in areas that aren't wealthy. It's mm-hmm. gonna change it to like Sweden. Like in Sweden and Scandinavia with socialism, people don't go to restaurants very often because they're absurdly expensive. And I think that's ultimately where we're going. We're just gonna get to a point where normal working class people can't go to restaurants or just only do it extremely rarely.
I'll push back a little bit. The Scandinavian countries aren't socialist. They're just they're welfare states.
Yeah,
fair.
Yeah, and I think the reason the prices are really high is because they're like cold, you know.
Maybe, but no.
Countries.
I mean,
well, I'd be curious
there are other European
other
countries where you can go to restaurants.
Yeah.
And it's true.
It's
true.
Very common.
I've been to Sweden, Norway, and Denmark a couple different times each, and the prices are insane for whatever reason. Now, here's what's fascinating, because I'll agree with you on this point. When I was in Bergen, Norway. I was walking down this like, you know, this, I can't remember where it was. It's like a boulevard, a market street kind of boulevard. And there was a street vendor with a styrofoam plate and fried fish fillets and French fries, fish and chips. And I was like, street food. You can always count on street food wherever you go. Yeah, you got to enjoy that, right? Walk up to the guy and I'm like, all right, let's do some fish and chips. He scoops it up, puts it on the styrofoam plate and says, $50.
Yes.
Oh,
where?
My
God. Where? Bergen, Norway.
Wow.
Same in Iceland.
$50.
$50 US dollars?
$50 US dollars.
That's like so even a actually, hipster boutique would be ashamed.
He did not say, that'll be $50, sir. He was like, you know, whatever, crowns or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I looked it up and I was like, that's got to be a mistake. And I showed him and he was like, yeah. And so I was talking to someone who was in Norway and they were like, oh, yeah, that's normal for us. Like going out to eat is like a special thing. And I was like, what?
I was watching an interview. What was the interview? Putin was talking to a bunch of students like 6 years ago and they were like, what should we do? Premier, and he was like, learn to cook. And they all laughed. They're like, no, really. What should we learn to do? What should we do? He was like, learn to cook.
Hmm. Yeah, dude.
And it was like shockwaves. Now I'm feeling the shockwaves of what he was saying.
We talked about this a lot with Michaela Peterson the other day. People do not eat properly. They eat trash.
That's true.
And it really does. It's a bad effect from the ground up. Garbage in, garbage out.
Fast food. Disgusting phrase. What food is not supposed to be fast. So, it's medicine.
So here's where I'm at with like this you know collapse we're witnessing, the slow motion collapse is, fast food tastes good, I don't like it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
But you know, it just because I don't like it doesn't mean that we should have some authority come in and just sledgehammer the industries and the people that the things that people like. This is Michael Bloomberg's ideology. Do you remember when Michael Bloomberg said tax the poor? I'm not exaggerating. He literally said that.
What?
He said they're too Michael Bloomberg said that poor people are and Michael Bloomberg said too stupid. And Michael Bloomberg said, I'm doing this on purpose. Michael Bloomberg.
He didn't say that.
What?
I shouldn't have even interjected. I'm doing this on purpose. He didn't say that part.
No, I'm saying his name several times. Michael Bloomberg said that poor people, according to Bloomberg, mm-hmm. are too stupid. And according to Bloomberg, the government needs to spend money, according to Bloomberg, for them because they wouldn't know what to buy properly and they would buy bad things and hurt themselves.
That's an indicative mentality of this elite. I don't like saying elite because I don't think they're doing a very good job. So they're obviously low level, but they're up. They've got these positions of power and they really think people are like cattle. They think that they can't do things for themselves and they can't think for themselves. So they build these institutions to take care of them. Maybe they're right. Maybe there's something to the wild human stupidity. And we have to corral them but I don't know.
No, you're right. I mean, generally speaking, that is the progressive perspective. So when you hear these lefties come out and say things like, well, we need a single payer system because people can't just choose their healthcare in the private market. Now, first of all, our healthcare system has many issues. I think that there's a lot of reform that has to take place in order to straighten it out. But the argument that the best possible solution for people is for their money to be funneled through the state so the government can make that decision for them is exactly embodied in what Bloomberg said. So even though he said the quiet part loud, I don't think it's all that uncommon an attitude.
I'm trying to find something from this video I watched recently, but I can't find the graph he used.
The funny thing is they're like the biggest idiots themselves. Like they simultaneously believe that, like, for example, it's conservative Trump voters who are the biggest anti-vax population. I haven't seen the evidence of that. That was Breonna Kalar. And then they also are thinking, what are we going to do for vaccine outreach? Oh, I know. We'll have some gender-bending weirdo do a White House hit.
And by the way, that guy was ripping off the character from 30 Rock. Ripping that character off. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense.
Well, but either way, I mean, Will's point stands, right? They seem to be marketing towards a left-wing demographic, even though their claim is that it's generally Trump supporters who need to be reached.
The CIA was doing that, too, with their recruitment campaigns. Like, I don't know.
They're going to be like, oh, well, we tried reaching out to Trump supporters. They didn't buy the gender-bending
guy.
Didn't like I guess we'll just force them to get vaccines.
The 20-year-old TikToker who was gender-bending. It's crazy. I guess there's nothing we can do. That's funny.
So, Ian, I think you're a little bit right about people not exactly knowing what's right for them, and it's because people aren't fully responsible, and I think this is part of what's given the government so much power over us, and this is why we're facing rising authoritarianism as we become less responsible.
I think we're also giving humans too much credit. Like, people think they're, like, above the animal kingdom in a lot of ways, and it's disturbing because we're just animals that repeat what we're told, and we believe what we're told.
Speak for yourself.
Except Seamus.
Yeah, I think I disagree. I think sentience goes a long way. I mean, we can give credit to dolphins and elephants, I guess.
Of course, and cats and dogs. I mean, they're all sentient.
Humans have great power.
Very intelligent. I'm not denying that, but still animals. And we need to eat and destroy to consume to live, and we make smelly poops, and we're disgusting and violent.
I think we've probably argued about this before. I believe we have free will, and so that places us above animals. I wouldn't consider humans animals. We're creatures. We're created things, but I wouldn't put us in the animal kingdom.
The free will conversation is fascinating. Yeah. Like, I used to think that we have total free will, but mm-hmm. now I think we're just kind of captive to our surroundings. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't not eat. I would love to not eat.
Well, I don't think you have freedom to defy the laws of nature or physics. Mm-hmm.
What's stopping you from getting up right now and just leaving?
Not much.
Well, that would just do it.
That's free will.
I mean, kind of.
No. I mean, like, you've never done that.
My concession of reality. Like, I would never do that because I have a greater goal and a plan that I feel like I'm compelled towards.
You have free will. You could say that whole plan, I can throw it out the window and just get up and walk out. But you don't. So it's not because you're being forced to stay here. You have the free will to choose. But I do want to loop back to what's going on with the economy too, and not get too far off the rails. Because I did have an article I pulled up while we were talking about this. Mm-hmm. My friends, I give you the Great Resignation: why millions of people are quitting, and how employers can earn them back. This is from Inc.com. 4 million people quit their jobs in April alone. Money had little to do with it, and even less to do with earning the right to find the right people for your business. I want to show you this video. This is from Trace Dominguez. I know Trace. I think he's a cool dude. He made a video, said, I quit. You should too. The Great Resignation is coming. I'm not highlighting his video to rag on him in any way. I think his video is actually very fascinating. He shows the Microsoft Work Trend Index. 41% of the global workforce are considering a job change in the next year, with 46% planning to make a major career transition. The reason I show the video is because among this, you know, I don't know, he's a YouTuber, you know, I met him when we worked at Discovery, but among him and his friends and his circle and his worldview, He's advocating for people to quit their jobs. Mm. Now, that Inc.com said it's not about money. And I'll tell you this. It's not about money. The reason it's not about money is because unemployment and the eviction moratorium have given people the opportunity to consider things outside of money. Because of that, it is because of the unemployment, but people aren't looking for work because of money, because they have it. So when Wendy says, we'll give you $1,000, they're like, it's not about the money. Why? Because they have money and they don't have to pay rent. Not everybody, but a lot. That's why we, for instance, at Timcast, we're slammed with resumes nonstop all day, every day. And people saying they would work for really low wages and stuff like that. We don't do that. But we get people saying, like, I want to work here. Meanwhile, Wendy's, you know, supermarkets, whatever, they don't get that. And that is only possible because the government is paying people. Now, this is the Great Reset. I'm all for, if this works out well to the betterment of mankind, I'm not a fan of the authoritarianism of destroying someone's job, someone's goals, someone's livelihood because you think you found a better way. That's scary to me.
Yeah. I mean, like, I simultaneously think that it is in many ways, and it has been, the rational thing to do, to quit a minimum wage job in the world where or if you can manage to finagle it so you're getting unemployment, because unemployment early on was like $1,000 a week, and even now, I mean, when you add up state and the federal booster, it's like $700, $800.
Yeah.
And that's free money.
It's like $16 an hour.
Right. So, like, even, so say you had a kid and they were working a minimum wage job or whatever, they had like a high school diploma. You'd be like, quit and go do like training. Go do something that you can change your job and make more money. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the rational thing to do in a world where, you know, the reason, it's the rational thing in the world to do when you're not happy with your current salary or your current job. And somebody's going to pay you a lot of money to not be in that job.
Can you explain this to me, Will, with unemployment? You pay taxes on unemployment when you receive them. It's considered an insurance claim. They call it unemployment insurance. Mm-hmm. Are there any other insurance payouts that you have to pay taxes on?
I mean, you're paying your Social Security, which is nominally an insurance type thing, and also Medicare, Medicaid.
But like, if you were to get an injury and then they pay you like an insurance
There's
claim,
disability.
Do you have to pay tax on that insurance payout?
I'm not sure exactly what the rules are. Because like, I'm an employer. I think I pay that, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if, I mean, if,
I found it very unethical to receive an unemployment check that I've already paid into, mm-hmm. than to have to pay taxes on that check.
I don't know the rules. Yeah.
So those people, it's not necessarily free money. They still have to pay taxes on it, I guess was the one thing about
sure,
all that.
Sure, sure, but they're getting
free
money.
Free money. It's still free money.
It's a lot. Yeah, yeah. I hope people realize that, or we can see an influx of tax delinquents.
Americans got a weight problem. The CDC says that of the hospitalizations we've seen so far, 30.2% were due to were people who were obese. I don't want to say due to, but were obese. We know that America and many countries, just people eat too much. So what's happening now? We're seeing people don't want to work fast food anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, it's only possible because of this unemployment stuff. If I were to envision a future where there was substantially less fast food, people are more likely to garden, grow their own food, be responsible for their food, and eat healthier. That's a good thing. If people were able to and more likely to work on things they were passionate about, I think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's a waste of energy for people to be working fast food in places like that. The problem is I don't believe the ends justify the means. Mm-hmm. So we can look at this vision of this beautiful future where everyone's eating healthy, they're exercising, everyone's politically active to a certain degree and calm and shaking hands and high-fiving. Wouldn't that be a great future? Wouldn't these utopians be great? These utopias be great. The problem is, in order to get there, you get some despotic wingnut who says, we are going to destroy as many lives as possible to get it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's the right to just destroy so many people's businesses or to, you know, dramatically change them.
Yeah, of course not.
Especially small businesses. Like, that's who this hurts. It's like the eviction moratorium, mm-hmm. right? The end result of the eviction moratorium is not no more landlords. It's no more small landlords. Right. Because you'll be in a world where, it turns out we need to have clout to be landlords because otherwise the government might just stop us from being able to evict terrible tenants. So then you just have massive, large landlording companies like you do in major cities, Bazzuto, Avalon, all those sorts of companies.
BlackRock. Yeah. The government's actually subsidizing them right now.
Yeah.
This is what scares me the most, though, is that the reason why I pulled up this video and that article is that I think Seamus mentioned the jobs we're seeing, the openings are from people quitting. Mm-hmm. Partially true. A lot of people are quitting. Some of these jobs are new with companies popping up saying we need to hire people. But when you combine the fact that people want to quit, people are quitting, and then people are advocating for others to quit, if you think the economy is good right now, you must be watching CNN.
Yeah. No, I was going to say,
CNN's saying it's good.
I would say it's also extremely dangerous. I mean, look, we had an economy which had many flaws. and some would even argue in some ways was a house of cards just based on its foundations with the Federal Reserve banking system, but that's a whole other topic to get into. I think the point is, generally speaking, the people who owned businesses, a large number of them were people who took initiative early on. They decided that they were going to forego immediate reward and work for years and years on something that they would not see a financial return on for quite a bit, which is how it goes for a small business owner. And many of those people had their businesses shut down. And now we have an economy that's sort of been rerouted where anyone can quit their job and without going through the pain and suffering that used to be required to build a business, be able to do so. But I don't know that that's going to weed people out the way the system used to, so that only the most dedicated people who really believe in their vision are engaging in that. I think a lot of people who really aren't made to run their own business are just going to end up wasting a lot of time and tax money.
Well, they're going to, I don't know what's going to happen to those people. What are they going to sit around and just eat food? You know, just buy things and extract from the system, and then those who work, who want to work, are just basically fueling and funding mm-hmm. the people who don't work. That's not sustainable.
No.
So this I've talked about this for decades now, basically since I was a kid. The philosophical consequences of technological advancement. Mm. When you get to the point where you start eliminating jobs due to automation, robotics, etc., those people are going to lose their jobs, and it's not their fault. You could spend 20 years as a master of this, you know, I don't know, a lathe or whatever, lathe master, whatever those jobs are called, cutting rocks. Mm-hmm. And then one day they're like, we got a robot that can do it faster and better than you, so you're fired. Where are you going to go work? You had a great salary. Maybe you were making six figures running this plant. Now they're firing you. Where are you going to go? Learn to code? No, it's not going to happen. So now we have people who, through no fault of their own, who played by the rules, did everything right, are now in serious trouble. Mm-hmm. Suppose you could argue they should have saved better. Well, not everybody can. And so we have to ask ourselves, like, how do we transition to making sure people don't lose access to the economy and resources when we make them obsolete through technological development? The problem is there is no point at which we flip the switch on. It's not like everybody's got to work right now and technology advanced, so flip, now no one works. No, people will still have to make food. People will still have to grow food. Yeah. Farmers will still have to farm. People picking crops will still have to pick those crops. But the people in New York City, the people who write garbage articles about celebrities, mm-hmm. oh, they can stop working.
Yep.
And that's an interesting point you brought up, Will, about how the labor shortage affects the rural areas. Mm-hmm. What are people in cities, what are many of them doing? Like, I look at New York's media landscape, and I'm like, these people produce nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, I get it. It's attention economy. It's wasting people's time. They're reading articles about listicles of pictures of cats. No joke. I mean, they're like, I found 12 pictures of cats, and we're going to say, these cats all look like famous historical figures. And they get paid to do that. They have produced nothing. Meanwhile, the people in the rural areas, the people who are farming, the people who are mining, the people in construction, the plumbers, the firefighters, the cops, the contractors, they do hard work constructing and building and making things for society. That's not getting automated anytime soon. But those jobs, we have AI writing garbage articles. Hmm. Those people get free money, and they're chilling in their cities, and it's not a big deal for them. Everyone else, they get left holding the stick. Eventually, people are going to say, hey, wait a minute. I'm growing all this food, and you're just taking it from me? That's not going to last very long.
Yeah. Well, in something you said sort of touches on something I mentioned earlier but didn't really get into. I mentioned our economy kind of being built on a house of cards, and you were talking about savings, the fact that a lot of people's businesses got shut down and maybe they could have saved more. Well, unfortunately, our economy has been structured in a way which disincentivizes saving, and that goes into this mentality of not wanting people to build the necessary virtue of deferring gratification. Or, I mean, I should really say in many ways that's the basis of all virtue. But we have a system where it's not exactly a shock that people are going to be inclined towards becoming takers rather than makers as soon as the opportunity presents itself, because we haven't exactly set things up in a way that incentivizes responsibility. Even if you had saved enough to keep your business afloat, for example, 5% of all of your savings would be gone today from last year without you spending a penny.
But Max Kaiser, he said he thinks it was like, what, 10 to 14%? He thinks the government's lying about the number.
Yeah.
Because that would cause Social Security to skyrocket.
Exactly.
So they're in panic mode.
And how would they pay for Social Security? Probably print more money. And then the inflation gets worse. And I'll then they acknowledge the inflation's worse and Social Security goes up.
This is what I was saying the other day. If you give someone $300 for free and they're like, hey, that buys me groceries for the week, they'll gladly accept it. And then within a month or two, however long, now they're like, $300? That covers half my groceries for the week.
Yep.
Then in a few months, $300? Wow. That's a free cheeseburger.
Yeah.
No matter how much the currency inflates and no matter how much the currency is devalued, they'll still accept free money if it gets them something of value.
And so I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but even the people with this modern monetary theory fantasy acknowledge that if your economy isn't productive, printing more money is going to lead towards inflation. So even the people with the most permissive monetary policy imaginable would tell you that we're going to get inflation out of what just happened over the past year. And we're going to continue to get inflation.
Right, yeah. We didn't get more productive.
Yeah.
We were way less productive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that's a price we're willing to pay because, and I mean, I think in terms of especially when you're talking about the beginning of the pandemic, a ton of people tossed out of their jobs and effectively having their livelihoods taken from them as a result of government regulations and lockdowns. Okay, yeah, we should compensate them, right? The way I always viewed that was the government shutting down your restaurant, that's a taking that you need to be compensated for, right? But that doesn't mean that that's a continuing thing. And I think, like, what the Democrats want to do, and it's one of the reasons Biden's so terrible, is they just want to, like, pretend that it's, you know, it's still pandemic world and we should just open the floodgates and spend another $10 trillion.
That's just insanity. Well, I think they realize that they could get away with it without people doing much.
Mm. Yeah. But we got some news in that front. Mm. You think this is the end? You think that they're going to start opening up the states and everything's going to... No. We're going the other direction. Oregon has announced they're reinstating their mask mandates. And we have this study from Axios. Now, I know YouTube is very nitpicky on what you can or can't say about COVID for whatever reason. They're ban happy. If I can't read Axios, I don't know what I can read. So, new data on coronavirus vaccine effectiveness may be a wake-up call. A new preprint study that raises concerns about the mRNA vaccine's effectiveness against Delta, particularly Pfizer's, has already grabbed the attention of top Biden administration officials. The study found the Pfizer vaccine was only 42% effective against infection in July, when the Delta variant was dominant. Quote, "If that's not a wake-up call, I don't know what is," a senior Biden official told Axios. Driving the news, the study conducted by Enference and the Mayo Clinic compared the effectiveness of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines in the Mayo Clinic health system over time from January to July. Overall, it found the Moderna vaccine was 86% effective against infection over the study period. Pfizer's was 76%. Moderna's was 92% against hospitalization, and Pfizer's was 85%. But the vaccine's effectiveness against infection dropped sharply in July, when the Delta variant's prevalence in Minnesota had risen to over 70%. Moderna was 76% effective against the infection, and Pfizer was only 42% effective. The study found similar results in other states. For example, in Florida, the risk of infection in July for people fully vaccinated with Moderna was about 60% lower than for people fully vaccinated with Pfizer. Although it is yet to be peer-reviewed, the study raises serious questions about both vaccines' long-term effectiveness, particularly Pfizer's. Quote, "Based on the data that we have so far, it's a combination of both factors," says Venki Soundararajan, I'm trying to pronounce that right, a lead author of the study. "The Moderna vaccine is likely, very likely, more effective than the Pfizer vaccine in areas where Delta is the dominant strain, and the Pfizer vaccine appears to have a lower durability of effectiveness." 42%. Hmm. Now, we saw Israel, they made similar claims that a large portion of the people in hospitals were fully vaccinated, and the effectiveness is being reduced. I'm not going to tell you what to do because I don't give medical advice. You go talk to your doctor about your medical advice. This is coming from the Biden administration. We're getting a statement from the Biden administration. We're getting the Mayo Clinic. We're getting a study on this. Where do we go? What do we do? They're going to bring lockdowns back, aren't they?
Well, you got to assume that the virus is going to mutate again. It mutated into the Delta strain. And now I saw an article. Lambda, they're
Epsilon.
Expecting. Yeah, and they were like, we'll have to go to the numbers after all the Greek letters are gone. But I mean, it's similar to what the flu does. It tends to mutate. That's why they haven't had a virus that stops the thing. You can just, from season to season, help you reduce infection. And I think that's what we're seeing here. Whether or not you want to create a new vaccine for every strain every time, I don't know. You know, we kind of got to rely on data for that, and I see so much of it.
Well, I mean, I think the thing is we're headed, it's endemic. We're headed towards COVID as something that just is part of our life in the same way that the flu is part of our life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's part of something we deal with every year. I mean, there's a flu shot available, a new flu shot every year, right, that helps you out against the variants they think are flowing around and reduces the severity. That's what we're headed towards with COVID. Now, what does that mean for your behavior? I think, you know, I'm seeing people like freaking out and lockdowns and masks. I'm like, no, none of that. Cause like that's a pandemic measure. That's we're trying to eradicate it. That's we're trying to get it completely eliminated. And so, and we're doing a short term measure until we get to vaccines and other mechanism. But now we have vaccines and vaccine technology. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where we need to think we need to push this going, like fight against mandates and lockdowns, and instead say, look, we need to embrace the idea that I don't think we should fight nearly as hard against like booster shots as we should against like continued mass mandates and lockdowns, right? Because if it is endemic, then we got to be like, okay, then this is like, then this is finally like the flu, and we need to, as a society, treat it like the flu. Maybe more severe.
We have more severe, and that's kind of scary, actually.
More communicable, I think, is really the key.
Yeah, because I guess the scary thing is if it becomes a seasonal thing. I mean, this is, it's, you lose your sense of smell, you lose your taste, you get fatigued, you know. Yeah, that's creepy. But we got this from NBC News. Check this out. FDA poised to okay third vaccine dose for immunocompromised people. The move would be the first authorization of additional dose in the U.S. Boosters are coming.
I mean, were there the really interesting question? Were there tests on three doses, or were there tests on the third dose improving? Like, as if Pfizer, as they say, is only 42% of at affecting at infection after two doses, like, is a, how much does a third improve things?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It just feels like we did a lot of things that didn't work, and they keep just saying we'll just keep doing the same thing over and over again because they don't know what else to do.
Right, like they have to do something. They feel like they can't do nothing, and especially given. You know, we blame the authorities, but I mean, it also starts with a huge chunk of the population being absolute paranoiacs about it.
Yes.
I mean, at a point, you know, I mean, this is just something.
Did you guys hear that
continue to blindly trust the authority on this? Right. Like we talked about this last time. At first, it was 2 weeks to slow the spread. It was, we need to make sure hospitals don't get overwhelmed, and then it was, we have to make sure there are no new cases, and then we have to wait for there to be a vaccine. No, now there is a vaccine, but it's not working. We have to lock down again.
You missed one part of that. It was, you know, 15 days to slow the spread. Mm-hmm. Then Cuomo killed 15,000 people.
Oh, that's right.
And then it was, okay, we got to stay locked down a little bit longer.
Yeah. The 15 days thing was kind of like, they're like, hey, we have a bug bombing service coming to your house. Yeah. You need to vacate for two weeks. We're going to make sure we kill the bugs. And then you're like, okay. And you leave your house. You give it all up. You wait. After 2 weeks, they're like, yeah, we didn't get all the bugs. We don't even know if it's working right.
There's a new bug now.
Yeah, different bugs. Yeah. Same chemical. It doesn't seem to work exactly right. But we're going to keep doing it. And I was like, I need access to my house, dude.
I might steal that and make a cartoon.
Could you guys thank you, Seamus. In Germany, they're advising people to get a third shot because a nurse was accused of giving people saline instead of the vaccine.
What?
Yeah, and they said they didn't know why she did it, but that she had posted anti-vax stuff or vaccine skepticism online. Think about how insane that is in the other direction. Like, certainly we can talk about mandates and lockdowns being bad. It's extreme. But how extreme is it if someone goes to the doctor? The doctor recommends them medication. They say, thank you, doc. I will agree to this medication. And the nurse goes, I ain't giving them that. And then secretly gives them something
this
else.
This is the problem with rushing stuff out is it creates distrust.
If they die, man, too, right?
Right.
Like crime. Like, you need to go to jail for a long time for that. You don't get to deceive someone into getting
It was just saline, which is harmless. But
that sounds criminal.
And these were elderly people, too.
Yeah.
Criminal, dude.
I'm sure
you inject
criminal.
Me with something I didn't ask for?
Oh, heck
man.
Yeah.
And you deceive me into thinking it was the thing that would protect me from the disease I need protection from, and then I go ahead and die from that disease because I was unprotected? Mm-hmm. Like, manslaughter.
Yeah. I'm all about people just having informed consent and making the choices that that's what's right for them. To think that this nurse would decide, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you've read. I don't care what the doctor said. That's insane.
Jail.
Man.
Right to jail. Yeah. So, right away.
Do they have any way to track which particular patients she gave saline to? Are there records?
No, I think they were saying it was like several thousand.
Whoa.
Busy girl.
Maybe several.
Is
I could be wrong.
Incarcerated at the moment? What is the situation?
I think the article was Reuters. They said they weren't sure if she had been arrested or charged, but wow, dude.
Maybe she took a trip to Israel, and that's why the vaccines have been less effective.
This is the opposite of informed consent. And that's what I'm all about. Like, you go to your doctor says, here's the news. You say, you ask them questions. Here's a story I saw. What do you think? And then they're honest with you. They show you the studies. They explain to you in great detail and you are informed. If someone was to switch out your medicine for anything, that is not informed consent. That is them. That's the opposite. It's just crazy, man. People are losing it. I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm. I just looked this story up and she injected 8,600 people. So who knows how responsible she is for possible deaths. That's messed
man.
Up. Holy cow.
Did you guys, this is really interesting. You guys follow Brett Weinstein?
Yeah.
He's been talking about?
I've seen a little bit of it. I wouldn't say I've been following it, but I'm familiar.
He tweeted out one of these doctors who said, heads up, the frontline coalition of doctors, whatever, these are the people who are always talking about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and stuff like that, said it's not working. They said that their treatment is not working on people with the Delta variant. And a bunch of people responded saying, like, It never did work. A lot of studies contradict this, and that's why people were critical of you. But I think it's really interesting. Two things. One, they were saying that this one doctor said they've experienced people with the Delta variant in the ICU and their standard treatment protocol didn't work. Interestingly as well, their standard treatment protocol calls for wearing masks. So even the people who are being censored because they're talking about these other treatments are telling people to wear masks. Mm. That I find interesting. Like, who are the people saying not to wear masks when it comes to potential sickness? You know what I mean? Like, where it's interesting to me. I don't know. It's a weird situation.
I mean, I've said for a long time that I hope one of the things that comes out of all this is that, you know, it is now a social norm that if you're coughing in public, you should be wearing a mask, right? Like, if you're knowingly sick, like, stay home. And if you are going to go out, wear a damn mask and don't try and reduce the amount you spread to everybody else.
That's the other crazy thing, too. Like,
that's fair.
When I see people walk, when I go outside, I see someone with a mask, I'm like, I don't know, whatever.
Right.
Why would I? I don't care. I don't think about that stuff. People smack talk me all the time on the internet. I don't care. I ignore it. I'm doing my thing. You know, and I think if I see somebody outside wearing a mask, you know what? If they're sick, good.
What if it's in a movie? What if the characters in TV shows and movies start having masks on?
Dude, so I rewatched The Big Short. You guys remember that movie?
Yeah,
movie.
Yeah,
I don't think I ever saw it.
One of the characters, one of the characters, the Brad Pitt character, it's like the big thing is he's a kind of a weird guy, very eccentric. And, you know, he comes to the airport and he's wearing an N95 and using hand sanitizer. And it's like, that's the model of his eccentricity.
Wow.
And now it's like, everyone does that. Everyone turned into the weird eccentric hypochondriac.
This is the interesting thing. Seeing the, you know, the frontline coalition, you know, whatever, these doctors who have been talking about ivermectin, when they come out and they say like, hey, Delta variant, this stuff's not working. You know, I'm like, there's a vaccine. You know what I mean? Like, would they support that?
It seems like they're just doing studies on what they've been doing, which is a very intelligent and ethical thing to do as a scientist, as a doctor. So maybe they haven't looked into the other stuff yet, but they're just kind of showing the flaws in you know, how it's changing. The Delta variant's different than the other strain.
But should they then be like, our new protocol includes getting a vaccine and wearing a mask or whatever, which is funny because then it goes right back to the CDC and Fauci.
It's so weird to fight against the vaccines because you figure, I mean, I remember so many of the same people who were like, oh, this isn't a big deal, and oh, we should head for herd immunity, were then the ones who were the biggest vaccine skeptics. And that was always very strange to me because I felt like the best argument against all the sort of social distancing, public health type measures was a vaccine that would help protect you so that you could live your life normally.
That Trump was responsible for.
Right, Operation Warp Speed.
I also think people had a suspicion that it didn't matter how many people got vaccinated, there was going to be some push to continue the lockdowns.
This is the problem I have. Look, I keep saying, informed consent, I don't give medical advice, go talk to a medical professional. But when story after story after story comes out about some guy being like, oh no, I'm dying, if only I get the vaccine, or that woman in Alabama where she was
so
like,
screwed up.
I take their hand and they say, please give me the vaccine. I say, I'm sorry, it's too late.
Oh my,
I'm like, dude, come on.
Do they
man.
Do stories
so
about
on
like
the nose.
Morbidly obese people having a heart attack?
Never.
And like,
never.
Or like
that's
smokers having lung, I mean, I guess they did that with smokers having lung cancer, now that I think about it. But
a lot.
But they certainly don't do it with overweight people and obese people.
They should. Well, maybe they shouldn't. It's propaganda, at the very least.
Yeah, I think there should be. You want to do a great reset? Let's have a great reset of people's mental health, their physical health, their personal responsibility.
Because then they watch less CNN. So
that would be exactly. The Iboga plant. If you want to do that, you ever study that thing? This is African psychoactive plant that makes people just destroys addiction. You take it, you come out of it with no addiction. It's amazing, but it's like one of the most visceral, you know, grotesque experiences you can have. I've heard.
That sounds terrible. Don't get
addicted. Other than that, how are you gonna great reset people's eating habits?
Well, I think just look, it's in the words of Frederick Douglass, I believe, it's easier to build strong men than repair broken ones. I think it more or less comes down to educating the next generation. I don't think it's a matter of anything else than that. You try to help build virtue in the population, which is already there, but most of your hope is in educating the young.
My concern is that kids mimic their parents, and if the parents unwilling to change their diet, the kid may be eating healthy at home because he's forced to, but when they leave the house, they're going to start mimicking what they knew.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
So you're saying the end is nigh?
I'm saying Iboga is not the end of the world.
No, I disagree.
No, the end is just beginning.
It's a long time,
my friends.
You know what, man? It feels like a slow motion collapse. How did I describe it before? Like, it's a giant Joe Biden, and the building falls down, and then he grabs it, and he can't hold it up. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a bad way to put it. Joe Biden walks up to the building, like a Godzilla Joe Biden, punches a hole in the foundation, And then starts falling, and he catches it, and he's slowly easing it down to the ground.
Yeah,
it's a revolution. Like. I think the Spanish term revolute, is that what it is? Means to turn forward,
to return, like, to revolve,
to return forward. It's actually to return forward, which is like a slow falling forward. Of course, it's then going to circle and spiral and continue.
You know, I've had it up to here with people owning things.
Oh, me too.
Yes,
I think if they owned nothing, they'd be happy.
Well, that's the thing.
Yes.
You don't. I've been thinking this a lot. People are like, I own this land. And then you're like, yeah, like if an alien came down, they were like, okay, dude. And they like smashed the pulpy body up against the wall. Like, yeah, no one owns anything. You don't even own your body.
Hold on.
What is ownership? What does that mean?
Ian, are you saying that because an alien
can steal
something?
Because someone with a gun is going to enforce it?
Because an alien can steal something from me, I don't own it.
Seamus. Property is a
take
bundle
shirt.
Of
this
sticks.
Is my lunch money. If an alien comes down and takes it, it is still my lunch money. They've just stolen it.
I understand, like, thievery. Maybe that's why we've created ownership is because of the tendency towards thievery.
Ian, like, so much of your arguments are semantic.
Yeah,
that it seems
this is a
like,
bit semantic.
It seems like at some point you went on a trip where your brain split like words from meaning.
That's this whole what's the society. I'm like the microcosm of what society is experiencing right now. What
ownership is just it's a concept. It's a human societal concept that something is within your responsibility and your freedom to manipulate.
It's a legal construct about a human relationship, humans' relationship to property vis-a-vis other humans, the right to exclude. Right, like this is you're actually hitting on some very fundamental questions in property law.
Yeah,
right. So,
like what?
No, you know more about law, so you keep going. My position, honestly, is like a Catholic and a moral realist. I do think property is a legitimate, real concept. I don't just think it's a social construct. I believe there is a legitimate injustice done when something's stolen from one, and it's not just socially constructed.
Right. Well, one of the ways to think about it is, to kind of flip that around a little bit. You know, people will say when they're like looting, "Oh, looting isn't that bad. It's just property." It's like, no, property is about someone's relationship.
Yeah.
Physical things.
Yeah.
And so
exactly.
you actually are injuring that social construct, if you will, but like that relationship. And so you are injuring the person.
Yeah, exactly.
You can concede the sort of like social constructedness of property and still realize that it's actually more important.
Well, it's extremely
more,
important.
You know, yeah. More important to protect
So Ian, your view of ownership is limited in that you only view it from this one perspective. Ownership isn't about your rights to something. It's about your responsibilities to something. So you mentioned owning land. If the aliens came, they'd be like, you don't own this land. What if the aliens came to Earth and there was one guy who like dumped a metric ton of human like feces all over this land? They'd be like, who's responsible for this? And they'd be like, it's his land. He did it. Get it?
You know, well, here's the funny thing. Your alien hypothetical, that's actually a hypothetical from the very earliest part of our American property law. This
really?
Place called not quite the same one, but you'll understand it once I explain it. So there's a case called Johnson v. McIntosh, and if you're a law student in 1L, it's usually the first property case you go to, and it's a John Marshall case, right? The first major, I don't know if he was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, but he was like the most important in the early days. And the basic thesis of the case was there were two guys who had a competing claim to land. And one guy's kind of chain of title ran through Indians who had granted it, and another's chain of title ran through, like, post the Indian conquest and somebody else going there. And Marshall's like, the guy who had it after the Indian, whose chain of title doesn't involve the Indian transfer, wins. Why? Because we conquered them. And there's no other good reason why. That's just it. We conquered them, and that's why. So it's like when you say the aliens came in and just took over, like, kind of felt like the aliens came in and took over when colonists showed up and disturbed the, you know, the Indian land claim.
So when the alien comes here and says you don't own it, then it's true. The aliens own it.
Right. Like,
by virtue of having guns.
Right. It's like property claims are ultimately rooted in sovereignty, I think. Right. Like, you know, I mean, we have a moral feeling of injustice when our property claims are violated no matter what. But in terms of like how courts are ultimately going to adjudicate it, they're going to rely on sort of under the continuation of whatever sovereignty exists, and if that sovereignty is disturbed, then guess what? That sovereignty is disturbed.
Yeah. Civil society doesn't function without property rights because an individual will work 8 hours to secure food for himself and say, I have a right to this food as I have done the work to procure it. And then someone will walk up and say, but you don't actually own anything, and take it from them. And then the person who does the work dies, and the person who doesn't work dies too.
How did the Native Americans who didn't own the land do that, discuss and like take care of it. If one native
which
wanted,
Native Americans,
yeah, there's so many tribes.
So different tribes would handle it differently. Yeah, like if one of them decided to take the food, more food than they needed, would they just kill the person? Would they ostracize? Would they throw them out of the tribe?
You're acting like every single Native American was the same. Native, like,
it's a general.
I got more fascinating anecdotes if you want to on this one.
I would love to hear them. I actually have a question though.
You had Aztecs who had buildings and societies. You had Mayans, you had Incans, and then you had the Iroquois or whatever.
Apache.
Yeah. They had completely different legal structures.
Yeah, Native Americans a vague term.
It would be like, how did Europeans like determine what they owned? It's like, what do you mean Europeans? Spain and France have different laws.
Well, assuming a tribe that didn't. They didn't have ownership laws.
How does nomadic tribe handle property law? I don't know.
That's why I asked the question.
So, Will does know. I don't know exactly, but they all have different norms. I mean, because debt is really old. Like, this is a great book you should read by the recently deceased David Graeber, Debt: The First 5,000 Years. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how debt pre-existed barter, and that it's a much more natural thing, right? Like, because debt presupposes the continuation of a relationship, right? You owe me. I have to, in the future, repay you. Mm-hmm. Whereas barter is like saying our relationship can end right now because we are equal, and so we can depart. So it's only something that sort of evolved between like hostile tribes that occasionally need to exchange things. But in terms of your interpersonal relationship with people that evolved forever, there was always debt. And so sometimes that's official and like marked down, but other times that's something like they just kind of, it's sort of socially understood and you kind of figure it out and it's vague and whoever knows. But so one really funny example, I think it's the Easter Islanders. Don't quote me on that because I don't know, but they had a system where it's like, it's socially terrible if you have to turn down somebody's request for something from you, right? Like there's just, if somebody makes a request of you, if you can accede to it and give them what they need, you have to, and it's really rude not to. Mm-hmm. And the only check on that is that eventually if you try to exploit the system and request enough from people, they'll just kill you. Because you're such an asshole and it's exploited it so much. They're finally like, after the 20th request where you try and exploit the system, they kill
you. Or just ask right back.
Right. So that's how one particular tribe handled property rights in their area. Like everything belongs to everybody, but if you're too much of an asshole, we just kill you. Yeah,
but it's a bunch of different tribes did a bunch of different things. Some groups, like barbarian hordes or whatever, you can talk about that in like Asia, they just take whatever they wanted from whoever they wanted and then just exploit it.
It seems like BlackRock is exploiting it right now, that people that are these big multinational corporations that are being subsidized by governments to buy property away from small business owners and people that can't afford it are exploiting the property ownership and the debt system.
Yeah, it's fascism.
So how are we going to fix that? How are we going to alter the system so that it can't be exploited?
Raise kids with better values.
Definitely.
Certainly don't do stupid stuff like eviction moratoriums again. To me, eviction moratoriums mean everybody, BlackRock is going to own everything.
Exactly.
Because you can't be a small landlord. It's one of those, that was one of those things that like a middle class way of building wealth would be to like
own a house or own
rental properties.
You could invest in Won at this point.
What is
Won? Well, no, it's interesting because
Korean currency?
Chinese.
Chinese is the, I don't, is China is it, oh the yuan yeah
yuan
yeah yeah
yuan.
Yeah,
well, the won one
is probably named after the empire.
Going to your point on the eviction moratoriums, there are so many of these left-wing economic policies that at a surface level seem to be good for the poor and working class, but are actually just good for consolidating power among small corporate entities, or large corporate entities, but a small number of people. So one example would be like Walmart. There were instances of Walmart lobbying for minimum wage increases in certain areas because their competitors could not handle a minimum wage increase, and they could. So it would put ma and pa shops out of business.
Right.
Yeah, we see, like Starbucks will open a Starbucks next to a mom and pop shop and then lower their prices to ridiculous below cost numbers because they're subsidized. And the mom and pop shop collapses and then, Starbucks takes over. Mm. Takes over the area, squeezes them out.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not good. We can't function that way. I don't know how you solve problems like
this. Right, because as soon as you get the government involved in telling a company what it can and can't charge, the people freak out and call it fascism or socialism.
I'll tell you what one of the problems is. I think the easiest way to identify one of our biggest political problems is the leftist argument that for every one homeless person, there are 10 empty homes. Then they say homelessness is a choice our society makes. Because these are like, imagine you go to a little kid who's never actually owned a house, repaired a house, remodeled a house, dealt with utilities or plumbing and sewage pipe leaks. They're just like, it's so dumb. Like, if there's a house, just like, put a homeless person in it. And that's a bunch of leftist activism. And then actually having worked with homeless shelters, going to them and explaining, someone has to do work to maintain the house. The lawn has to be mowed. The utilities have to be regularly maintained. Someone has to make sure the house doesn't burn down. Who's going to do all of that work? How do you just put someone in a house? Now, when you have empty investment properties, I'm not a big fan of people just buying up houses, driving up prices, and then no one uses them. I want people to use houses. But when no one's in it, nothing's happening, you'll get like a caretaker once a month to go in and just make sure everything's fine. So there's no dilapidation. There's no collapse. However, they need to make sure that the utility pipes don't burst and fires don't start.
Yeah.
But you put a person who's not responsible for their lives to a certain degree in a house, and then the house starts falling apart, and then what? The house catches fire and burns other people's houses down. It just doesn't make sense. And if we have a society where people just can only come up with these most simplistic and surface level solutions that aren't actually solutions, that's what we're getting policy wise. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of starving people. I know. Let's feed them. Then what do you do tomorrow? Feed them again. Then what do you do to that? We'll just keep feeding them. It's like we're not solving the problem.
Raise the voting age to 30,000. 30,000.
No, I don't disagree. There's an argument to be made for that, because when the voting age, I mean, previously the voting age was what, 21?
Yeah.
And early in our country's history, I mean, you were out on your own paying your way by the time you were 16 or so. So once you got to 21, you had multiple years of real world experience caring for yourself and possibly even a family. In fact, likely a family by the time you were 21. And so you, A, had a vested stake in society, and B, quite a good amount of experience at that point. Now, 18-year-olds vote, who have never lived on their own, have never held down a job, certainly aren't raising families in the vast majority of circumstances. And if they are,
it's not good,
generally speaking. Yeah. I mean, no, I should say it's good that they keep the kid, though, and don't kill it. But I'll say this. It's unbelievably bizarre that there are people who actually want to push the voting age down to 16, that this is something that was even being discussed.
Right, well, I mean, it's cynical, and it's just pure political. I mean, I'm
Who wants uninformed voters?
Right. Who wants uninformed
voters?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I'm also somewhat cynical. Like, I realize that most of these schemes are designed to increase the number of Democrat voters, so I'm perfectly happy to entertain schemes that will increase the number of Republican voters or make Republicans more dominant.
Do you think we should have a maximum voting age?
No.
31.
Older people vote Republican. Why would I want to exclude my own voters?
I think people that are very old are out of touch with how society works, especially when you look at cryptocurrency law.
I mean, maybe society.
Yeah, but maybe they
have
wisdom.
Maybe they have a deeper wisdom.
They're definitely out of touch with the way technology functions.
Sure, but a lot of voters are, and they're also out of touch with everything else too.
Someone being out of touch with technology. Sorry, just let me interject because I have worked with older people. Someone being out of touch with technology does not make them less wise, less interesting. It does not give them less interesting stories. I think that older people continue to have a say in our community as long as they're able to.
I learned so much from my dad. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's
like
great.
And it's funny when I talk about, you know, because he was around during, like, for example, like the civil rights debate. He was around and was cognizant, remembers what the arguments people were making. And so it's funny when he hears, you know, people saying, well, what's their, you know, they're a private company, Facebook and Twitter are private companies, they can do what they want. He's like, that sounds a lot like the arguments people made about the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Freedom of association, First Amendment rights.
Yep.
You know, we think it's ridiculous now, but that's a legit argument that the Goldwater types were making in the 1960s. Civil Rights Act was a violation of the First Amendment.
I think I might have a solution. What if we took maybe like a light, some kind of like light beacon, and we installed it into people's hands? Mm-hmm. And then what happens is, as they start nearing 30, it changes color. And then right around the time they're 30, it starts flashing red. So we know they're 30.
They're expired.
And then, you know.
We pluck them and put them in a voting booth.
No. then they get purged from society. And you know, I'm sure there could be a problem where, like, someone would try and defy the system and realizing their own mortality,
which
try and flee and then escape. And, but ultimately, I think, you know, that.
Is that the island?
Logan's Run.
Yeah. Okay.
What about they have the things in their hands and, like, the light turns red and it's like, you're 30, so they're going to kill you now or whatever.
Can people that are, like, suffering from dementia, Alzheimer's, vote?
Yes.
Can people that are, like, mentally afflicted and other, you know,
they can
vote. So people can be, can someone that's on a machine considered in vegetative state?
No.
They're not legally allowed to vote?
How would they?
I don't know, but are they legally allowed?
Yeah, there has to be a volitional act, I would assume.
Okay.
So they got to do it with their own hand. And so I'll clarify.
But demented people,
if you are diagnosed.
One of them is president.
If you are,
okay.
I didn't say that.
Yes, they can vote, bro.
That's a fair point.
One of them is literally running the country. Yes.
I wouldn't say he's running the country.
Yeah, fair enough.
But he's sitting in the chair.
Ostensibly running the country.
Ostensibly. Oh, man.
What were you saying?
If somebody is, like, diagnosed demented, they're not going to vote.
But they can legally. Right?
I don't know about that.
And they can vote for whoever someone tells them.
What I mean is, if somebody is in their house and they're clearly mentally unwell and they get a mail-in ballot, they're going to send it in. It's going to count.
Yeah.
So you can make whatever laws you want. There are a lot of people who are crazy who are roaming the streets and living lives.
Right.
For example, those people who are wearing, like, multiple masks and, like, doing...
Yeah, it was never about mental wellness, letting people vote, right? It was about ownership of land.
I think, you know, Ian makes a great point. If we were to maybe pass a law saying, like, legitimately, if you have a mental illness, you can't vote, all the Democrats would be gone.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
They're much more mentally ill, yes. More likely to have mental health issues.
Substantially higher to be diagnosed with mental health issues. But the further left you go.
They would probably say, we're more likely to admit it and seek treatment.
It doesn't matter. Right. It doesn't matter. Right. Listen. But no, I'll tell you what.
Come on. But we all know.
You want to know one of the craziest things ever? I was in California. I was on Venice Beach, and there was a guy, and they do these things where they want people to get their weed cards. And this dude was just like, yo, he's like, hey, man, you get your weed card yet? And I was like, I don't need or want one. And he's like, oh, you got to get your medical card, man. How do you know? I mean, have you talked to a doctor? And I was like, I have nothing to talk to a doctor about. He's like, oh, will you skateboard? I was like, yeah. And he's like, your knees hurt? And I was like, sometimes. Oh, man, you got to get a weed card. Here's the crazy thing. It's because they were trying to sell medicinal marijuana, right? Mm-hmm. If you get that card, you can't legally own guns anymore. So these kids.
That's right.
Because then you're
it's that way in Maryland.
You fill out the form saying that you do drugs. Imagine some young kid who doesn't know sees the guy say $5 weed card and he goes, okay, boom, you lose your Second Amendment rights.
Wow.
That's creepy stuff.
Yeah. Mental illness is a dangerous term.
Right. Taking away people's rights by claiming they're unwell or whatever. But anyway, it is true statistically that the further left you go, the higher rates of mental illness they see.
Yeah.
You
know?
So
I would imagine extremes. Well,
they don't encourage
virtue.
I mean, also a left wing mentality doesn't encourage virtuous or healthy living at all.
Can you define
that? So of course
you're
gonna have mental health issues. Yeah. So like taking pride in your work, attempting to contribute to society best you can, caring for your family, having a strong faith in God, loving your neighbors. These are the things that have made people, you won't quite say happy, but have given their lives meaning for millennia. And we're just told that these are vestiges from a time before we had a deep understanding of the world, and now we can discard it all and reform man into whatever it is the current left-wing orthodoxy says he should be.
I see.
Well, they're constantly pushing us forward to more edgy and interesting things, if you will. They're progressing us. They haven't really told us what they're progressing us toward, but they are, in fact, progressing us, and that means that we can't do things the old, boring way. That means the nuclear family is passé. That's not really interesting to be a parent, that you would rather be a feminist, and if you're a woman, go work in an office just like a man. Be a second-rate man. That's great, right? It's new. It's different. We don't like the old way of doing things. We just want something new.
You know,
and can I just mention this to in case my answer didn't suffice? There's one point I want to throw in here in case I wasn't as clear as I could have been, or in case this bears stating what I meant. Humans have historically, generally, what is normal and good for a man is to, in most cases, get married, raise a family, care for his wife and children, right? And now our society has completely subverted gender roles, not just in terms of the transgender question, but also the family structure of the home, the headship of the man as the father and head of the household. And of course, we have an economy which doesn't support a single family income the way it used to. But I think more or less left-wing people are far more likely to voluntarily embrace the kind of lifestyle which rejects family life. And I think that's really bad for mental health.
The question is, will it lead to the destruction of our society and civilization or not, right? So there's constant arguments about...
Well, what?
So conservatives are famous for saying what's... Stop! Right? Is that the saying?
Standing athwart history. That's Buckley. Standing athwart history, yelling stop.
Well, so you have a big argument right now in the culture war, and it's progressive versus traditional, and the right tends to be more traditional, the left tends to be more progressive. The problem I see right now is the left is like they're so far left in terms of the idea of progress that they're falling off the cliff, and they're like, it's like, you slow down, guys, like this is crazy. But the question I suppose is, for what? for both sides, for progressives and for conservatives. Like, state your case for what?
Yeah.
Everything you just said, what's the end goal of that? What is the outcome of that?
Families built atop the family, so we need a strong family unit.
But is that, so the end goal is just for people to have families for the sake of having families?
Well, no, I mean, having a family is a good thing. And I think that having a family is, in some ways, its own justification. I would give other more robust theological reasons, but family is good and people
human flourishing, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. That's, creating the next generation, contributing, yeah.
Is what you're proposing going to lead to a better, healthier society?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the ultimate question.
I think that's Burke, isn't it? And I forget exactly who said human flourishing is the goal. I think it was Burke. Might have been Russell Kirk or somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think human success and longevity is the goal. I think what we see from the left doesn't give us that. I don't think the right has all the answers. I think we need some reforms across the board in terms of this country. But you end up with a modern establishment left that is, I'll tell you this, the Democrats, they're not progressives. Like, as a whole, they are some kind of weird, twisted power structure of neo-corporate fascist something or other. The progressives are,
Sorry, I just wanted to bring up how, like, Cory Booker got up and made fun of Black Lives Matter and said, how dare anybody suggest we would defund the police? And I just literally, Black Lives Matter on the Twitter account, when, like, lit them up. It's like, no one in the Senate supports our revolutionary movement. And you're like, cue the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme.
Right, like, that was hilarious. But the progressives propose insane things that will only tear down and destroy. Not completely. I'll put it this way. Here's what I see. Right now, you have progressives on the left. And it's like a tendency versus the rule, right? Exceptions versus the rule. The left has, the rule on the left is that they're going to propose things that make very little sense in the long run. Notably, like, we want universal health care and also stop fat shaming. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, listen, if you want everybody to pay for health care, but you're also saying no personal responsibility in your health care, then you're going to have a system collapse. Mm. The right, I think for now, it's inverted. It's more so the rule that conservatives are going to say, hey, these things have worked and they will work, and it's the exception when they propose things that are bad and don't, right? You see what I'm saying? What I'm seeing right now is establishment Democrats are give me corporate power, I don't care about anything else. Progressives are just put homeless people in homes, problem solved. Okay. And then conservatives are like, well, here, this was working, let's keep doing that. And I'm like, that actually makes sense for now.
Except it's,
but
it's,
I don't think.
It's not, yeah, it's not working. If you look at it economically, it's not working. Like, to sit still and watch this train head towards the cliff is not the way to go.
But that's not what they're saying.
Well,
actually, you can put it better, because you're actually conservative.
Like, what we're trying to accomplish with?
With the economy, right? So, like, Ian's argument is you're saying stop the economy now, even though it's
specifically
not
that Republicans in Congress are doing that, not you necessarily, but what.
They're saying stop the economy?
No, they're just saying don't change it. We don't really need to do too much. They're kind of hands off.
Well, like, I mean, that's sort of like a Lindy type argument, right? Like, the longer things last, the more likely they are to be effective and, you know, and good and, you know, evolutionarily sound. But I mean, in general, I guess the conservative approach is sort of prudence, right? So there's prudence is a big part of it, you know, like, don't do things you don't know about. Mm-hmm. Tradition has its own value.
Yes.
Like Chesterton's Fence. I don't know if you're familiar with
that. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, you know Chesterton's Fence.
Well, what's that?
It's just a really simple concept, right? Chesterton had some great quote. He's like, if you don't understand why a fence was put up, then don't take it down.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, which seems pretty straightforward.
Right. Like, somebody put up the fence for a reason.
I think they know why all the fences are put up. It was to oppress somebody.
That's right.
For power.
We have a blender downstairs.
Oh, my.
Okay? And the blender is, you've got the actual machine that you plug in the wall. You've got the pitcher, the lid, and the blade. And for some reason, people take each part and put it in a different part of the house.
Oh, neurotic. No. That's the worst form of neurotic.
Why? If you don't know what it is, don't move it.
Speaking to you. I thought it was funny at the time.
Yeah. Well, Seamus, good work.
So you're going to get so mad about it on my podcast.
The blender blade was with the crock pot in the Lazy Susan.
That's a mess.
Because someone saw it and said, I don't know what it is. I'll put it down here. The pitcher was like in the upper in the pantry. The machine was the actual blender base was sitting there, but then I couldn't find the lid anywhere.
You're
because someone saw the lid and said, I don't know what this goes to, so I'll move it.
The beginnings of a society. It's the chaos of bringing a bunch of people together without an ordered lawyered system in place.
If you don't Things know aren't labeled, what it is, you know? Don't touch it.
Will, this is what I get for
there's
trying
a,
to
there's
help.
A, there's, there's, a, there's a purple quivering mass vibrating on the ground. I'm going to touch it.
No,
don't touch it. What's going on with this
How
thing?
Am I
going
to know what it is if I don't taste it?
I mean.
And there we go. The beginning of society.
Yeah.
We think.
What are you guys doing around here?
Do you guys know what star jelly is?
Yeah.
No.
I almost don't want to.
So we went outside a couple days ago.
So interesting.
And I noticed something on the ground that looked like slush. It's 90 degrees outside. It looked like slush. No joke. It looked like, in every possible way, a chunk of, like, slushy ice, and there was water pooling around it. And I was like, why is there ice on the ground? Where did this come from? I'm looking around. And then I walked over, and then, like, I poked it, and it was goo. It was a weird goo.
I saw that.
But this wasn't, there was no animals that had moved by. Like nothing, it was our walkway where we're constantly going around. And at some point, somehow, it appeared there. We didn't know why. And I guess there's something called star jelly that people think is like, it comes from meteorites or something. Yeah.
So it was there and it was in a Ziploc bag and Andreas was telling me about it. And my default rule is just Ziploc never bag. Believe anything that Andreas says.
Yeah,
ever.
Good yeah, rule.
And so, yes.
I don't know Andreas that well, but I do know
to fact check every
you know that kind of right. person. He knows the kind of person. And we love Andreas. We love Andreas. But he was like, it's in this little plastic bag and he's like, it fell from the clouds, dude. I was like, you bought silly putty and put it on the ground. But now Tim is saying he saw a similar thing. So I'm not
saying it was star jelly.
I think that it was.
Just saying,
I'm looking at pictures of it. Is it this white gooey kind of star jelly?
If you don't know what it is, don't touch it
or eat it.
Because I'll tell you a funny story, right? So my dad was a firefighter and he told me this story about how one day they get a call for like a tanker spill or something. And one of the fire department employees pulls up in their vehicle and drives through a large puddle with tape around it because they didn't know or care what it was. It was acetone.
Oh no.
Right.
It dissolves plastic.
Yeah, it's a corrosive.
Oh my gosh.
And so they were like, why would you do this? Like, I don't know. I didn't know what was going on. It's like, well, maybe you should stop because there's fire trucks here and be like, is something happening? What's going? I guess not.
I heard a similar story my sister told me when I was a kid, and reflecting upon it, it sounds like it could be completely made up, but I'm going to tell it anyway because it's interesting. But apparently there were some kids like just driving into piles of leaves in our area because they thought it was fun, and then I guess there was like a homeless dude sleeping in one of the piles.
Oh, yeah,
and
dude. No. There was a story in Illinois where a kid was in the alley, and he was in a box. He took a box and he went inside it, and then a car drove through the alley and ran it over, killing the kid. And so the driver, he got arrested and charged. Yeah. I think it was like negligent homicide or something. Because they were like, don't run over boxes.
Oh, geez.
Don't run over a random thing. If you don't know what's in a random thing, don't destroy it.
Yeah. My dad said that too. He said my dad said he hit a plastic bag that was lying on the road. And he's like, there was like a brick in that thing. I almost flattened my tire. Well, and I was like, you gotta be careful.
When you see a box, the first thing you do, again, you need to know what it is. The first thing you do is you taste it.
You jump up and down on it.
It tastes like cardboard. Yeah.
This says that, all right, we got, this is star jelly may be originating from the glands and the oviducts of frogs and toads.
Yeah, that's
but we,
what
but
I was
there,
thinking.
This was a huge pile. A
lot of frogs.
And it was our walkway by the door. There was no frogs anywhere near. We were jumping on the trampoline. Anyway, super chats.
Yeah, really.
Ladies and gentlemen, smash that like button. You know, this is we introed as Shimcast.
This is Shimcast. And thank you for your
and,
super
and Seamus
chats.
Didn't tell anybody to smash the like button.
I did. I said specifically, smash the like button, subscribe, send in super chats. This
did
is
you?
Our debut Shimcast. Of course, I
did not.
No,
say
no
that
you
there.
Didn't. Yeah.
I can't lie. I won't lie to you on my own podcast, but I will tell you this. We are crushing it with the likes right now. Sick. Look at this. We're up to almost 7,000 likes. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get Shimcast IRL up to 10,000 likes.
The most liked
for this
episode ever.
The most liked episode of Shimcast. We're going to do it tonight.
I think you'd need like 50 or 60,000, to be honest.
So you're acknowledging all the previously high-liked episodes were Shimcast.
No, I'm saying Shimcast will
10,000 likes, you heard it here. We're getting 10,000 likes on this Shimcast episode. Won't be our most liked, but we'll give it a shot.
Let's read these super chats. We got Ethan Simon says, Tim, it's not just inflation. It's immigration, too. Immigration increases the population of the consumer base. More people, more demand, higher prices. That's a really good point. Especially when we're talking about the slow motion collapse of this country, not only are Biden's policies driving up gas prices and consumer prices, he also brought in 1.2 million illegal immigrants this year.
That's insane.
I'll tell you this, and I always stress this, I love me immigration. I think we're lucky when we get immigrants coming to this country because the smart and talented people and the hard workers come from other countries, but it's got to be a legal process. Mm-hmm. We can't just be like wander through the desert for 90 miles because then people die.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also on top of this, I've said this in the past, it is such ridiculous framing to call somebody anti-immigration or anti-immigrant if they're against illegal immigration. The entire point is we want an apparatus set up so that we know who's coming into the country, because you can't just literally let anyone and everyone in at right. all times. But if you say that, you're some kind of bigoted neo-Nazi who just is covertly motivated by a hatred towards Hispanic people. That's the only reason you could think there would be any point in vetting people before coming into our country.
The media is sort of...
No one in the world is dangerous.
They framed it like they're refugees a lot of this time, mm-hmm. and I think people have kind of... subconsciously believed that the refugees fleeing mm-hmm. here. That's and a big problem.
The Cubans are the refugees.
Okay, I want to mention this too. Yes, absolutely yeah, they are. I want to mention this too, because I mentioned some immigrants being dangerous. It's not even about dangerous either. Obviously, every nation has a right to regulate the number of people entering the country if it starts to impact the standard of living
and
for
a
the
duty,
average
not just a right, a duty.
Them. A duty. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
All right. Vanessa Stuller says, love it. Shimcast. He who wears
Thank
the
you.
Suit.
That's right. Oh, we got to put the blazer yeah, back on. The reason Tim started reading the Super Chats and talking about how this was actually some other podcast is because I wasn't wearing the blazer,
true,
so it's
yeah.
back on. And
Gothic Extravaganza says, Seamus looks good in a suit. Thank now, you. If only he'd shave that scruff off of his face.
Don't do it.
Then he'd more look like a proper elder in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
First of all.
The most true church.
Why would I? Why? What? Are you kidding me? He's
that's
baiting
what they said.
Me. He knows. He's baiting me. You know, the one true holy Catholic and apostolic church. I'm just Roman Catholic. That is the one true church.
There you
and
go.
Let me tell you, to this super chatter, it's first of all, the scruff's not going anywhere. All right, I'm a disheveled cartoonist. That's the whole thing. I don't want people to like think I clean up nice or anything.
Yeah,
this is important. Bryce Wilson says, my wife works at an Amazon warehouse in Arizona. She was just told today that all workers have to use gender neutral pronouns at her building. Is there anything she can do to push back? No, and she shouldn't push back. She should accept using gender neutral pronouns. I prefer the word Florbo.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's uh-huh. Tim. I thought you were Z.
No. So Florbo is the word we use when we don't want to accidentally misgender somebody. Mm. Because if you go to a conservative and you're not sure and you try to use, you know, non-traditional pronouns, you could offend them. But if you go to a leftist and use traditional pronouns, you could offend them. What's the one neutral way to do it? Remove yourself from the system entirely and say Florbo is completely gender neutral. And I'm doing it to make sure I never disrespect anybody.
But if someone is completely wrong, I'm fine with them being offended if I say something that's right.
Well,
like,
I'm
you're
saying,
a he, and that's, you know, that person's a he, and I'm not going to be gender neutral.
This person's in a workplace, and the company says you must use gender neutral pronouns,
so
but you don't know which pronoun somebody wants, or if they're comfortable, so just say Florbo.
Perfect. Mm.
Because if they're like, what does that mean? It's just a gender neutral pronoun for everybody. And then, there you go. Problem solved.
Will, as a lawyer, what is the legal precedent for this?
There's a bizarre interpretation of the Civil Rights Act, I believe it was.
The best
or
some, kind of
or the Equal Protection Act, I think. Or the Equal Rights, I forget. I'm not really, really up on my my gender law. Well, so.
That's pretty messed up.
Yeah, that's not right.
Do better.
Look,
all right.
Next. I tried to like say this yesterday. I said that we just don't give Caitlyn Jenner enough credit for being the first woman to win the men's decathlon.
I know,
like,
it's true.
Like, she just doesn't get enough credit. It's really impressive.
Agreed.
That's because he's a man.
Whoa.
Okay. Let's read. Donald Dixon says, Tim, I can't find a way to join by using my debit card. Is that not an option? Sick of YouTube and want to be a member. All of you are awesome. Liz is amazing. I don't know why that would be an issue. I'm pretty sure you can join if you go to timcast.com and sign up. That should be fine. And maybe there's an error. I don't know. I don't
want to be like, check your account balance, but check your account balance.
Yeah, that's
also, this is important. At the beginning of Shimcast IRL, I said we were not going to be respectful to Lydia anymore, and he said Lydia rocks.
Oh,
so,
okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't accept
Same
that.
Same with Ian. We're, you know,
yeah, Lydia does rock.
Exactly. No, wait.
Juan R. Ayala says, shout out to Seamus. I've been a proud supporter of his work when he was just a smelly libertarian with no girlfriend.
Oh, thank you. I still got the
lived beard. With his parents.
Thank
Come
you
a
so
long
much.
Way, man.
Why'd you have to remind people about that chapter in my life?
Smelly libertarian.
We all have the libertarian.
It's true.
Exactly. Everyone has the libertarian.
Right. You know, everybody's made that huge mistake and then just gets over it.
Well, let me tell you, thank you so much for supporting me over these years.
That's very nice.
And now I have my own Shimcast IRL channel with a million subscribers.
It's impressive.
You've done well.
Thank you.
Really put in the work.
Very
there,
quick,
yeah.
too. I didn't hear about you before, so the fact that you got to a million this fast.
You
is
literally
just
didn't hear about me until the day you were doing my podcast.
Exactly.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, amazing, even then.
Except for the other time we met here, back when it was Tim
right.
Cast IRL.
Yeah.
We've transitioned.
Things have gotten better.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Ryan Berkebile says, I work at a local factory. We are currently 80 short and so desperate, we started hiring part-time with flexible hours.
Wow.
Interesting. Ooh. Sorta I can't read your name, says, urban secession, make U.S. megacities unincorporated U.S. autonomous territories.
Mm. Well, no, I've always said that the best way to deal with California is to let it secede and then occupy it. And then we can strip it of its electoral votes. That would solve, and also maybe just put Peter Thiel in charge. There's nothing wrong with California that a dictatorial Peter Thiel wouldn't be able to solve.
Dolly Lance says, my daughter got a new job and gave 2 weeks at her grocery store. The store is short on employees. The manager cried and begged her to still work at the store on her days off from the other job. Wow.
That's rough.
Wow. Just shut her down, man. Just that's it. Shut it down. You know, it'd be really interesting. There's like one grocery store within a few miles of here. What would happen if one day people shut up and it was closed? And it said, we have no staff anymore. The store no longer operates. Where will people go?
Uber Eats, man.
What will happen? No,
being
for real. Like, what
drive 10 minutes more to the Walmart or something, I assume.
And then the big business?
But if people are, this is a big chain grocery store. Like, I'm saying, like, what happens if we get to the point where they're just like a bunch of them shut down in an area and people have no store to go to get food?
They're coming for your chickens.
Will a mom and
Tim
pop
will protect those chickens?
Will a mom and pop open a building and say, look at this, people are desperate, we're going to make a ton of money, and then order groceries and have a little store, and then it'll grow again, and then they'll hire people.
Maybe.
Well, or it'll just be small mom and pop stores because they want to work.
I don't think we're headed in that direction, though. I think it's the exact opposite. It's the giant businesses that are going to dominate the marketplace.
But who wants to work for them?
Drone delivery.
Here's the thing. People want to work
Amazon.
For small. Here's the thing.
They get your food from Amazon.
They own Whole
People
Foods.
Want to work for small mom and pop shops even less, even though I think people are generally more ideologically on board with them. They're more comfortable working for small business owners rather than a large conglomerate. They usually can't pay any better, and generally speaking, they don't pay as well.
Hmm. Yeah.
They're not able to provide the same benefits either. Yeah.
Right.
They can't compete with the big guys.
There's definitely benefits to size, especially when it comes to things like benefits and HR.
Yes, 100%.
All right. Dave from Colorado says, my wife and I listen every night. Yesterday was Jessica and my 9th wedding anniversary.
Nice.
Oh, good for you.
Could you please have everyone wish Jessica a happy anniversary from her loving husband, Dave? Thank you. Happy anniversary, Jessica.
Happy anniversary, Jessica.
Jessica. From Dave.
A warm
Dave seems like a wonderful guy.
Yeah, he does.
Dave, you do. Good for you guys. Yeah. A warm Shimcast IRL happy anniversary.
That's right. Yes, correct.
It's powerful. Adam Lee says, after 1,000 shout-outs for plumbers, I had to say thanks for recognizing plumbers and construction workers in general. A lot of us have been working this entire pandemic and are treated as though we do not know the risk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, man, when there's a plumber shortage, people are going to revolt.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you.
Fast.
That's one of those things that you don't. That you think about very much until you need a plumber.
Yep.
Oh,
really glad that they will take your money to do the job.
So people who come to this house don't understand what a septic system is. And I think anybody who has a septic system understands what it means when people come to your house and don't know what a septic system is. So we had one day where we woke up and the downstairs started flooding because people don't understand you can't put stuff in toilets. And I'm like, how do we get a septic person out here literally right now? And you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You're calling, and they're like, we can be there tomorrow or the next day. We're scheduled. We're booked. And it's like, wow.
So we made
when you
it.
Need one, you need one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything got taken care of, and it wasn't that bad. It was fortunate for us. It was just water backing up. So it was just like kind of,
could have been worse.
A mattress got destroyed. Fortunately for us, it was just water backing up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Meet the parents?
What?
You ever see Meet the Parents?
Yeah.
I don't remember it. But
He left the toilet running, and so it flooded the septic system.
Hmm.
And, yep. All right, let's see. Christopher Antonia says, in Canada, we use paper ballots. Parties and volunteers to monitor the count, and everyone is cooperative, cordial, and transparent. A winner is normally declared on election night, but our up-and-coming election will have mail-in ballots. Thanks, Trudeau.
Hmm.
You know, assuming that it's transparent is kind of dangerous.
True.
If you don't get to watch the entire process, then that's not.
I just don't think we need mail-in ballots. I think you should have to be like absent duty military or like show an excuse as to why you can't.
That's pretty racist. But.
All right. Christopher Knowles says, we are mammals. Different survival requirements produce different levels of consciousness. It's a sliding scale. Random acts of kindness exist in our species. Why? It shouldn't be advantageous to give away our own advantage to others, but it is. Why, if not free will? Mm. Because humans are social animals. And providing for each other guarantees the survival of the greater community. They did studies on rats and found rats are also empathetic. They had a rat in this tight little tube that it couldn't get out of, and it was screaming.
Oh.
And they put another rat inside and gave the rat outside food. The rat outside would release the rat trapped and then share its food with it.
Aww.
But what we haven't considered is maybe those rats were standing in solidarity against their human captors. You know, if two aliens came and locked you and if aliens came and locked you in another human in some kind of maze that you could free them from, you'd probably be more likely to help that person than you would if you just saw them on the streets.
There's a really funny,
now there's a common enemy.
Right, you don't touch something if you don't know what it is.
There's a really funny Far Side comic where it's there's two aliens looking at a terrarium where a guy is cowering and there's a grizzly bear screaming, you know, like rah, over him, and then the alien's like, "Dave, you put incompatible species in the same terrarium." That would suck, right?
That's what happens.
All right. Jesse Meek says, "I love how even when you all have differing opinions, differing options, you're each able to present a coherent argument and remain civil. I miss that. You should reach out to Liberty Doll. She's a professional counselor, libertarian, and gun enthusiast."
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if you just singled someone out? He's like, "You're all really, except Seamus. He's an idiot. The worst." Right. By the way, Ian.
Power to the people, Seamus.
This is what the establishment fears most.
Mm-hmm.
Fist bumps.
Kendrick Leist says, "Ian should read The Fatal Conceit by Hayek. His thoughts would be immensely interesting."
Mm. Interesting.
Write that down.
Yeah. Write that down.
The last of my kind.
You're not a Hayek fan?
He's obtuse.
What's the,
I don't know. I thought Milton Friedman's way better. I thought Rothbard's way better. I thought Hayek had some insights, but I definitely found Hayek prose to be just unreadable.
But he put the Austrian school on the map with the boom and bust.
Sure. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. The Austrians get one thing right, and then they think they got everything right. That's
I think, and also there's a lot they get from the Salamancans as well. That I shouldn't say get from them, but that was discovered prior to.
I just look at people like Peter Schiff, who like made a really bad prediction about the value of the dollar and lost 2/3 of his client's capital in the
crisis. Wow.
Did you know that?
I like, no, he's going to sue you, and you're going to be sued for. I'm just kidding.
Okay. But, he can try. But,
what happened?
Basically, he was betting on against the dollar and on inflation in the aftermath of the housing crisis. And he got the housing crisis part right. He just was betting all the spending was going to lead to serious inflation, but didn't account for the fact that the massive debt collapse was incredibly deflationary and kind of outweighed it. So the dollar got stronger, and that bet was like a big chunk of the portfolio.
Wow.
So that's my understanding of what happened.
The opposite of the Big Short.
Well,
yeah. No, he managed to get the housing crisis part right and still lose money, which is...
Nice.
The Last of My Kind says, "Howdy, Seamus, cast and cast crew.
Yes.
Today is 31st birthday, and I'm walking with a cane because I jumped off my truck and rolled my ankle. Ooh. 31 never felt so good.
Ouch.
Oh, let's don't 31-year-olds usually walk with a cane?
Yeah, I know. Trust me.
Sounds like you need to get some collagen.
You sound like my fiance who constantly tells me how old I am.
How old are you, Will?
I'm 36.
Nice.
No, 35. Okay, sorry, I'm about to turn 36.
I forgot.
I'm so old. I forgot my own age.
But thank you. For
Luke Rudkowski says, "What's Dilbert doing on the show, and how are you treating my parking lot?"
Thanks, Luke.
Does Luke call you Dilbert?
Yeah, that was like Luke's original nickname for me. Like when we met all the way back at the Airbnb in Berkeley. He started calling me Dilbert.
What a jerk.
Because I wear glasses.
Oh,
he wants to hang out with you.
I have blonde hair.
We did a show recently.
He's just, he's really self-conscious, and he wants you to think that he's cool. So he's trying to, like, show you that he's confident.
Oh, I absolutely will vouch for Luke Rudkowski's coolness. He's a wonderfully cool person.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's up in New Hampshire at the Free State Project stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's teaching people, like, self-defense and tactical defense training and stuff.
Yeah.
Check out Luke Rudkowski's Instagram, We Are Change.
Fun stuff.
Follow Luke Rudkowski on YouTube and Spotify. Is he on Spotify yet?
No, I don't think.
Luke, you got to start a podcast, bro.
Yeah, but, man.
Is this Rudkowski cast now? Seamus, you've lost your show.
Now, hold on, no, this is still Shimcast IRL, but we have a high degree of love and reverence for Luke.
Rudkowski cast wouldn't fit in the YouTube.
That's kind of long.
Title.
Rudkowski cast. How would you even?
Rudkowski cast.
Rudkast. There you go.
It's Shimcast. I'm sorry. You can all just tweet to Luke how much you love him, and you're puking because he's not on the show, and he's vanished.
That's right. I want Luke back. Back on Shimcast. I've said it once, I'll say it again.
That's right.
Shimcast.
He's the man. He got good aim.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Oh, was that too loud?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, guys.
Thanks, Dean.
Yeah, Mike play as an art.
There you go.
Jonathan McClea says, "Hey, Tim, thanks for inspiring me to get back into podcasting again. Check out the Swamp Creatures podcast, where us Florida men drink and talk about the news every Friday. We are not PG or PC.
I like that.
Do you commit crimes on the podcast, like many Florida men do? If so, I am intrigued.
Will, I gotta ask you a question.
Sure.
From my understanding, the reason that Florida seems so crazy is because they have different sunshine laws. Is this correct?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well,
I mean, and I was born there, but I left. Yeah, no.
You left, born,
left when I was two. So,
what are sunshine laws?
So, from my understanding, this is where if you commit a crime, that information is more accessible to the general public. So they're more able to talk about what goes on there.
I have no idea. That might make it easier to run various Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts about the various crimes.
For sure.
The men of Florida.
Commit. Yes. Mm-hmm. Florida man. Legendary.
All right. Let's see what we got. Olympic. I can't read that name. If Hollywood made a movie about this election showing Biden, we're going to move on, I guess.
Good super chat, though.
Good super chat. Thank you.
Thanks for the money.
Australia is not real. Just ask a flat earther, says Shimcast IRL rocks.
Yes.
That's true. And thank you. Both of those statements are accurate.
All right. Master Matthew says, saw the stream on the Freedom Phone. Tech being easy for everyone contradicts your position on being responsible. If you're afraid of being spied on, know your tech. Check out Pineapple and Linux, by the way. No, it doesn't contradict me at all. I would love it if we streamlined the process for which people could be responsible by bringing things down to earth. If somebody wants to learn how to start a fire, I'm not going to be like, if you don't use sticks, you're not responsible. I'll say, get some fire steel. It's a modern technology. I mean, you should learn how to start a fire with nothing but sticks. But it's also substantially more responsible to be like, I have fire steel. You ever see that stuff? It's cool. You go, and the sparks fly out.
Was it magnesium and flint?
I think it's just magnesium.
I think
actually.
It's just magic.
That's right.
You can also take cotton and stuff it in like a tight jar and then heat it up so it like get really hot without oxygen and then it becomes this.
How do you heat it up?
On a fire. Like you put it over heat.
Oh, so you have to already have a fire.
Yeah, you have to already have that fire.
What does that do?
It's portable and then it's super flammable. You can start a fire with it really easy.
Oh, if you like heat the cotton up without
oxygen,
burn it.
It turns black.
Is this survival skills day? Is this really Luke Rutkowski cast?
That's right. Yeah, that's what happened there.
That's right.
Gear.
What's happening?
Shim, you're losing.
What's
yourself.
Happening? No, this is Shim cast.
I think they should teach kids code. I mean, at this stage of the game,
teach them survival.
Little
skills.
Kids should be learning that in second grade, like a language.
Tate Story says a big promise Larry Elder made to the Sacramento Bee was to significantly reduce homelessness. Do you think it's possible to really change the situation in California? I absolutely do.
Oh, yeah. You jail.
No, that won't work.
No, sorry.
I just
like saying jail is the solution to all these problems. Right to jail.
I'll tell you, everything they're doing isn't solving the problem. And the best thing they've offered up is like, how about we build houses and put them in it? I'm like, that won't solve the problem either. It's a mental health crisis.
Imagine living in California and being like, we're just one more left-wing policy away from getting this right. Like, we're going to have the progressive utopia.
Skid Row is so bad. Yeah. Have you been to Skid Row? Anybody?
Bro.
Yeah, I used to go down there.
It's not Skid Row anymore. It's the whole city.
Yeah, Skid City.
It's Skid City. Woo. No joke. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend anybody go there.
I used to hang out down there and pass out water bottles and talk to people. Try to get it. I was thinking for a time, like 2007, I would start interviewing people and like show their stories to the world, but they didn't want to do interviews for the most part.
Yeah.
Their stories wouldn't be that interesting.
Yeah, you catch the random like homeless dude that gets a viral video and then he makes a name for himself, makes money, gets clean cut, gets a career, and it's like, I want that. I want to help people do that. But they weren't in the mind state for it.
They didn't want to. Yeah.
Not those guys that I met.
All right, let's see what we got. Ricky L. Hendricks says, when I became my mother's legal guardian, she lost her right to vote. At first, she could reason, but later on couldn't.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah. All right. Fetty says, Tim, you should look into Cardano's blockchain as a solution to land ownership. It's already being talked about for the future governance update. Interesting. I do have some Cardano. I'm interested to see where they go. It's interesting, you know, Max Kaiser is a Bitcoin maximalist. He's like, Bitcoin is the best. Everything else is trash. And I'm like, Bitcoin is the best. And I think other cryptos, you know, are typically just like investing in a company's project.
I don't know why you're trying to like over. We actually have a very good system in the United States for like land title. Like we have a recorder and it's the government does it. And they actually do a really good job of this particular job. You know, it's one of the things we have in like places in Africa don't. And it's a huge problem when they don't have good title. So, and it's not clear, like, what property belongs to whom. And you have constant little disputes. People don't invest their property. Like,
yeah.
We've solved this problem. I don't know why you guys want to try and unsolve it and then solve it again on the blockchain. Like,
there are people who are like, blockchain. And you're like, for what? Because.
But why? Okay.
But why?
What if we did McDonald's? on the blockchain.
Oh.
What if?
Like, what does that mean? Like, you can order on the blockchain. Like, why would you need to?
Like, you can do marriage law on the blockchain. But you can do your vows via the hash. And it'll be, no,
IPFS.
Stop.
That's another... Interplanetary file system.
I'm a conservative. If that wasn't clear. Like,
yes.
All right. Aaron M. says, going back to yesterday's stream about Asians and family, China had forms of polygamy until the mid-20th century. Even in Hong Kong, my home, men are considered just being men. If they have mistresses and wives, just don't get caught. Mm. Oh, well, there you go. Alexander Scarpecci says, yes, Florida is very transparent with criminal records. Criminal records are all available online through the county clerk website.
Ah, I knew it.
Michael Bird says, would you rather be trapped in the Matrix or Lord of the Rings universe? Would you rather have to write everything you say out by hand or only be able to speak in rhymes?
What?
Matrix universe or Lord of the... So Matrix... Well, there's two possibilities, right? Exactly. It's the Matrix... There's two Matrix... You know, in the Matrix or outside of it.
Right.
I'd choose in the Matrix over the Lord of the Rings universe for sure. Lord of the Rings had a lot is more old timey, which means a lot less modern convenience.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. They have like magic and stuff.
It sounds fun.
Would you rather be red pilled in the Matrix universe or in the Lord of the Rings universe?
What does that mean?
Wait, what is being red pilled in Lord of the Rings, bro?
Sauron was right.
Red pilled in the Matrix. It was a leading question, Will.
Sauron did nothing wrong.
All right, the truth came out. The two towers did not.
And to be honest, you know what really gets me? Elrond could have stopped Isildur. He's standing right there. Because what happened when Frodo and Sam were in Mount Doom? It was Mount Doom, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so burn the
he's
ring.
Like, why don't you do it? And Frodo's like, no. But then it's Gollum
who comes.
Hold on,
don't spoil it for those who haven't seen yet.
And it's Gollum who comes and they fight.
Yeah.
Gollum did what Elrond couldn't. Now, granted, he wanted the ring for himself, but that scene where he's like, cast it into the fire! Isildur! And he walks away. It's like, dude, just walk up and just push him in. Like,
I also think he was already walking away from him, and he could just put the ring on and go invisible, and there's nothing he could do.
I think I'd rather be in the... Matrix. I say Matrix, but then it's like you have robots trying to kill you all the time. And that's terrifying.
Well, no,
just
you
live
just
in
live
terror.
In the Matrix and be fine with that, right?
That's like, too
well, I'm assuming you're unplugged at that point.
Ian, you're in the Matrix.
I don't want to be. I don't want to be unplugged in the Matrix. That
sounds terrible.
Sounds terrible.
Like Lord of the Rings.
You would rather not know.
Yeah, like
you'd rather not know the nature
of reality.
We got
beat by the robots. Tim's just like, shaking his head. That sucks. I guess
Lord of the Rings.
I'd rather be living in the reality they created for me. How nice of them.
You Lord know? Of the Rings.
No,
is the
it's not nice of them.
Lord of the Rings is the correct answer.
Absolutely.
Because I know that if I had the One Ring, I would
That's
be able
right.
to wield it.
Of course. That's true.
It would be a gift.
But what if you were just some cheap peasant, like in some hamlet in Lord of the Rings?
If I saw that ring, I'd be like, I'm the one who can actually wield it.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Of course. Right.
You'd be the one that would finally be able to handle it.
I mean, it's
it.
Obvious. Yeah, absolutely. I don't care what, Sauron or whatever.
It's actually true. I think Tim
yeah, he's Frodo, dude. Yeah. I mean, no one can handle it, but
no,
if someone could, might be
able
to handle
it. No, Frodo was
give
not
it to him.
Able
Only
to
Tim.
It. Don't compare Tim to Frodo.
And why shouldn't I have it?
That's right.
Uh-oh. I think I misspoke. Don't give him the ring.
I would not want the ring. That thing is cursed.
What is the ring in modern, like, metaphor? Is it the power of internet video? I was trying to think of that.
I don't think that's what Tolkien had in mind.
Yeah. Like, cause you could make a video, if you're famous enough on YouTube, and tell a million people to do something, and they would do it.
I think it's the moderation power. That's what I think the ring is. Mm. I think it would be like what YouTube and Twitter, they have the seven rings. Right. And we need to cast them into the fire by making platform access to civil rights.
Yep. Snap, look at that.
Boom.
Circle's complete.
Cast it into the fire. Follow us at Timcast IRL. Smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel. Share the show with your friends. And go to timcast.com for the exclusive members-only segment, which will be coming up usually around 11 or so p.m. every night. And you can follow me personally at Timcast. You guys want to, Will, you want to mention?
Yeah. Will Chamberlain on Twitter and Facebook. And also, we started the Will Chamberlain Show. We're on episode 3.
Good for you.
Very
2 p.m. every day. I'm doing about 45 minutes going through the news, half hour of, just me talking, and then 15 minutes of going through chats on cool. I use StreamYard, so I get, all the different platforms we're currently using. But if you are interested in what I'm saying and enjoy it, then tune in 2 p.m.
Are you allowed to give legal advice if people super chat you?
No.
Nah.
And I wouldn't want to because I'd then be liable for malpractice.
Exactly. Dude. Every single time I ask one of my lawyer friends a question, they're like, this is not legal advice, but...
Right. You are not my client.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. on YouTube?
Yep. Monday through Friday. Yep. It's on YouTube.
Nice.
Right on.
Awesome. Yeah.
Shimcast IRL.
YouTube. Yeah, so I have a second channel. I have a channel called Freedom Tunes where I make animations. And we're going to be releasing one tomorrow that I think should be pretty funny, dealing with old Governor Cuomo, who we didn't really get into here. But I think it'll be a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not the one I wanted to do.
No, well, we'll see. We'll talk about it.
The one that I want to do with Seamus is
too dark.
It's not funny.
Maybe we'll do it someday.
It's just because Cuomo killed all those people. We like brainstormed a session where it's, you would be like, Seamus, I wanted to laugh and you made me cry. You know, like, or not cry.
Yeah, I can upload it. Hey, if you're patreon.com/freedomtunes, we'll upload the footage of Tim and I improving a different Cuomo video that
I think
made.
We need to make it. I want, there's no words.
Okay, well, if you go to shimcast.com, maybe we'll put it up.
Someone's gonna buy it.
Someone just bought it, yeah.
All right, here's the thing. Shimcast IRL is this, so I want to thank you for watching Shimcast, my podcast. Please, let's see if we got up to 10,000 likes.
We did.
Good. So this is
epic hype, man.
And you're not getting any of the super chats.
Not the best ranked episode. Well, that's a little messed up. It's literally my podcast. But thank you guys for coming on my show. Yeah, Freedom Tunes, releasing a video tomorrow. Go over there, subscribe, check us out at patreon.com/freedomtunes. And I'm on Twitter at Seamus_Coghlan. Very easy to spell. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Seamus.
Yeah.
Always
thank you, man.
Really fun.
Very
I'm grateful
definitely for the opportunity. Of course, Will. Yeah, anytime. Yeah. Hey, door's always open.
You were going to say your YouTube channel name for your show.
Oh, yeah. It's youtube.com/human events. I'm currently doing it on the Human Events channel.
Nice.
So, all right. Human Events.
You know me, you love me. Just kidding.
That's it. No.
Everyone hates you.
I can't decide what you love.
People love you.
Yeah, hit me up. Ian Crossland.
That's right. Peace. You guys should listen to Will's podcast because I used to listen to his live streams about lawyer stuff, and I found them very interesting and educational because not many people know a lot about law, but he went to school for that. So you guys can follow me at Sour Patch Lids on Twitter as I continue my pursuit of Sour Patch Kids and follower count.
We're going to talk about a bunch of spicy stuff now that YouTube doesn't allow us to talk about because they're jerks and they're scared. So go to timcast.com, be a member, and we will see you all there.
Bye, guys.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.